The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. You know, I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, driver! Drive
me! Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellmates together, Andy. You got payback coming.
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium, and there is so much to talk about. Starting off with the Texans coming to town for the divisional matchup on Sunday, but a lot of NFL news. The Jets just got done with a marathon press conference with Rex Ryan and Woody Tannenbaum.
Which is all... Hello?
Mike Shanahan.
Woody Tannenbaum.
I can't hear me.
Mike Shanahan, you know...
Hello.
His face is getting redder by the minute and has nothing to do with his tanning booth. He is under fire.
That's being a jackass.
And that's blowing my eardrums out. He's under fire in
you know,
D.C.
You know when we walked in and you said, let me know how your headphones are? Everything's all effed up. Some, can't hear myself and you're too
loud.
Yeah,
I can't hear Andy. Paul, why don't you...
Can you hear me?
A little bit, yeah.
I can hear you. I can hear both of you guys. And I know hit the circus.
As far as
the Jets circus to this circus.
So there's a lot of... a little static in one of
a lot of NFL stuff. Obviously, Alabama, the new national champs, blowing out Notre Dame last night. Patriots are back to work officially. They had yesterday off, but today they are back in full force and will be for the rest of the week getting ready for the Texans. So we're open to whatever you guys want to talk about. I assume people want to mostly talk about the Texans. And
I was thinking maybe a little draft.
I'll start off with some observations that first of all, we started out last week by people just completely overlooking Texans and talking about the matchup against the Broncos.
Are you going to be angry at those people again?
Yeah, I am. I think that if you think that this game is going to be anything like the last game, you're crazy. It's not going to be 28-0 before you blink.
Channeling his inner Bill Belichick.
It's just not going to happen. I mean, the Texans admitted they came out flat. They came out without the same intensity, and they didn't match the intensity that the Patriots had. You're not going to see that this time. You're just not. And I don't think that the Texans are that bad where it's going to get out of hand.
They're still not playing very well, in my opinion.
The reason why the Patriots are going to win this game is because of Matt Schaub. That's why they're going to win.
Probably.
Otherwise, the Texans
I think that's the reason why they won the first game.
Well, that's not the reason why the Patriots were up 28-0.
First of all, it was 21-0. But anyway,
Matt Schaub wasn't playing defense.
He came out and pooped himself. Yeah, that's why they didn't score any points.
But they couldn't stop the Patriots either. I don't think that's going to be the case this time.
Yeah. And the Patriots got some bounces.
Let me tell you something.
The Ridley fumble very easily could have... I mean, that's a touchdown that you could have given away.
If Matt Schaub doesn't play better than he did in the first three possessions of the last game, I'm telling you right now, there's a good chance it'll be 21-0. Maybe 17. Maybe they'll force a field goal. But if Houston doesn't move the ball and their defense has no hope...
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, and that's why I think the Patriots are going to win the game is because of Houston's offense. And that's what I'm saying right out. The Patriots are going to win the game.
No.
But
you think that?
But
it's okay for Fred to say it.
Right.
But if anybody else says it, they're just putting the cart before the horse.
But, you know, to call the Texans frauds, I don't think that's accurate.
Who are you talking to? You're talking to fans or you're talking to a Boston columnist?
No, I hear a lot of people calling them frauds.
You should be addressing the Boston columnist who made it,
Well, that's just
cool
a Shaughnessy,
that.
you know, had his typical, here's the tomato cans coming to Foxborough, lining up for the Patriots. And
it just doesn't, it annoys me because it makes no sense. Like, they were 11-1. You may think very little of them because of the game, but break it down more than that. Just don't say they stink, they have no chance, they never did, they're a bye. And plus, you know, it's not the first in the history of the NFL because the Patriots had a much bigger bye last year when Tim Tebow came to town. That was as big a bye as you can get.
I thought it was funny. You know, he did that. Then Arian Foster used it for his little Twitter avatar part of the column. And then a lot of people were very quick to tweet Arian Foster. Oh, that's not us. That's just, you know, one column. I really don't care about that part of it.
No, I don't either. I just think it's a stupid column and a lazy column.
He does the same column for years. But what I don't get is looking past
Shaughnessy.
What I don't get is looking past the Texans and already assuming that, for instance, the Broncos are going to, you know, beat the Ravens. Now, I think they will, but that's not a given either.
I don't think it's a given.
No.
I think it's a given, but I think they could lose.
I think Baltimore has a very good chance to win that game. I think Denver is going to win, like Andy said, but I think Baltimore has a very good chance to win that game.
Sure they do. So I think we need to focus on the here and now, not look past that, not disrespect the Texans. You know, I think
– so we shouldn't have worn our
letter
jackets.
I know a lot of people look at the 19-13 win over the Bengals as a ho-hum win, but I think the Bengals came into play. I respect the Bengals' defense. And, you know, and I think that the Houston Texans off defense did what it had to do. It kept them out of their side of the field for a half, kept them out of the end zone for the whole game. I think that's what a good defense does to a team like the Bengals, and they did that. You know, they showed that, you know, there's still some fire there left in Houston. So, I you know, going in here, I respect the Houston defense. The reason why the Patriots are going to win is because they're markedly better on offense, and Matt Schaub, I don't have confidence in him.
Nor does Matt Schaub have confidence in Matt Schaub.
Yeah.
If you look at him, he doesn't expect for great things to happen. It's clearly not part of his mindset that I'm so good, you know, I'm just going to do what I do, and that's, you know, carry my team. I'm the quarterback.
I agree.
He does not have any of that air about him. He has the Mark Sanchez old hard knock, just try to not suck so much, like that mopey, distasteful. I don't understand how you would deal with that if you're a teammate. Like Andre Johnson. Like, I think Andre Johnson expects to be great. I think Arian Foster expects to be great. There's no doubt J.J. Watt expects to be great. And the guy who they need to expect to be great is just this, like, pile of goo.
We were talking about it yesterday on the TV show. I think that on most teams, the head coach sets the tone. And on this team, Gary Kubiak is also the offensive coordinator. And I think Schaub might be a mirror image of the guy, you know? He's afraid to win.
I think there's some truth to that. I know Andy and I disagreed with I agreed with you and Andy sort of.
I think it just lets Schaub off the hook.
Well, I think we're not letting Schaub off the hook. I think that he is very similar to Kubiak. I'm not letting Kubiak off the hook. It's not just Schaub. I think that's how he coaches his team. I think he coaches tight. I think he coaches conservatively. And I think he coaches not to lose. And I think that his quarterback is in that very same mold. I think the quarterback is capable of more. And I think Andy's reasons are why he doesn't consistently give you more.
You know, a lot of it's funny because a lot of people, the ones that think that the Texans are frauds, think that this is like last year where the Patriots have that second bye week. Not quite that, but you look at how the Broncos were coached with Tim Tebow. They were coached close to the vest. They didn't take a lot of chances. They were hoping their defense could keep it in, you know, close, and that Tebow could pull something out at the end, you know, some miracle. And obviously the Patriots blew their doors off. I think there is a
breaking news, Brett.
Similarity in that respect, in the way the two teams try to win games. What do you got there, Andy?
When news breaks.
Big signing.
What do you got?
Patriots today signed wide receiver Andre Holmes to the practice squad.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
He is a former rookie free agent with the Vikings. Out of Hillsdale.
So not Andre Johnson. And
where
not
the hell
Antonio
is Hillsdale?
Holmes, but Andre Holmes.
That's a good point. What up, Holmes? So we got Andre Holmes in the mix. Okay,
all right,
proceed,
so
Fred.
Is that a full practice squad now? Are all those?
There you go. Shaughnessy's things up on NFL Network.
Well,
or ESPN now.
They show that on TV?
Well, he just said the defense was trying to keep the thing in.
All right. Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. So we have that to talk about this whole, you know,
Texans,
what is the environment going into this game?
The Texans thing that you're talking about, too, that I agree with you on, we all think that the Patriots are going to win the game. You know, I'm not trying to, like, drum up
Does Eric?
Any of this stuff. Well, actually, he probably doesn't.
Didn't he think the Texans were going to end the Patriots season?
But he has. Does he have his loophole now because the game's not in Houston, and that was his whole reasoning? But I do think it's silly that people don't think Houston has a chance. Not just because of all the tangible reasons of talent on the field and stuff, but, you know, why is it that every time the Patriots lose a game, automatically we assume they're going to win the next one? Against you know, the same team. You know, the Patriots were down 28 points to San Francisco.
Right.
And they lost the game, and everybody automatically assumes the next time, what will happen? It'll be a whole different game.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So why is it so impossible that this game will be different?
Exactly. I agree,
you know,
with you,
I think that, again, I'm not trying to drum up a devil's advocate argument here for the Texans. I think the Patriots are going to win. I think the Texans are just not playing well right now.
Right.
And I think the biggest difference between the two teams has nothing to do with talent. It's all mental.
And I think that...
That's the biggest... The biggest difference is the Patriots are tough, and Houston is yet to show any toughness.
But forget about Houston. Forget about the Patriots for a second. I think it's hard for any team in a season to blow out another the same team twice. I just think it's hard to do that. And just for that reason alone, it's not going to be the same. I mean, what the Patriots did to the Texans was a freaking ass-kicking. That first time, it's just not going to happen again. It's just not going to. And when that is the case, things can happen. You know, Danny Woodhead, the ball doesn't squirt out and go into, you know,
Brandon Lloyd.
I wanted to call him Lee Bodden for some reason. Brandon Lloyd.
Now he's dyslexic
because of the B and the L. But you know that's not going to happen again. Okay, so
because of the B and the L.
I had the weirdest of dreams.
Do tell.
Day. Yeah.
My goodness.
I was on the back of a motorcycle with Jerry Seinfeld. And we were going to his place in the Hamptons. And
I don't know. It's a little gay.
Once again, he's on the back of a guy's motorcycle.
And it had something to do with here, but I forget exactly what. There was some tie into being here. But anyway.
So did you have like your arms wrapped around him and everything?
What'd you think of McCann?
Yeah, but I felt uncomfortable about it.
Oh, so you're not comfortable with
thinking,
your sexuality.
How should I like hold
that's
on?
That's your inner turmoil.
You know, it's Jerry Seinfeld.
Right? I mean, if we're going to play, you know, pretend psychologist, that's your inner turmoil.
I was thinking
I was hugging him, but I didn't enjoy it.
I'm on the back of a motorcycle.
I've now become the only guy on this show that has no tendencies whatsoever.
What's the etiquette for holding on? That was going through my mind in the dream.
What'd you guys think of McCarron's girl there?
She's okay.
Miss Alabama.
I don't trust any of these college girlfriends. I really don't, for the hype. Profile quarterbacks. I really think they're all gold.
Brent Musburger liked her.
Well, I don't think he's going to be getting any gold. Well, he might around the Alabama area, but he's not going to be a huge smash in the NFL.
You don't think so? You think he's getting better?
I think he's. What do you like to make fun of? I think he's the ultimate game manager type.
Well, I think he's improving.
He should.
He's got a great He's got a great team around him.
He should improve. You should get better.
That was a complete mismatch last night.
The fightless Irish.
Just ridiculous.
Terrible. Yeah. The only thing that was good about it is it let me go to bed early because the game was over.
Yeah.
Abysmal.
I watched the Celtics.
Did you?
That game was over after the second possession. That was all I needed to see.
Okay.
I mean, they were just blowing them off the ball.
Oh, they were. And that was the only hope is that they, you know,
stop the run and put it all in McCarron's hands. Right. They couldn't stop the run.
It looks good for one play. They had like a 3-yard loss to start the game. It looked great.
Once they couldn't stop the run and you knew they were going to have to devote extra guys to do that, and then you knew the game was over.
All right, I guess we should get to the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Wow, they're stacking
it's
up.
It's starting to pile up. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Michael in L.A. Hey, Michael.
Hey, guys.
How you doing?
Good, good. I called in sick just to talk to you guys today because I always listen to you guys a day after.
Nice.
Yeah,
well, we appreciate the dedication to that and not your job.
Oh, no, it's okay. I get PTO.
So what does that mean?
I get paid just to be at home today.
Oh, okay.
What, you got a government gig?
Oh, no, I
paid time off, Andy, PTO.
I just wanted to call and say that I think that the Ravens will beat the Broncos, and we're going to beat them at the AFC Conference at home.
Okay, why do you feel so confident of both?
Because I think that with Ray Lewis coming in back and all that hype, I think they're just going to do it, but they can't deal with that pressure in the AFC Conference with us because we owe them one.
And there is a possibility with Lewis coming back that
Who
last game
one?
There was an emotional letdown for the Ravens. It could be.
Yeah, he's thinking it's the opposite.
What?
No.
He's thinking the emotion of Ray Lewis is going to get Baltimore
to
carry
them
to lift
for
them
for another week. Yeah.
And I also think the Ravens, if they beat the Broncos and come here, they feel like they owe the Patriots.
Well, absolutely.
One, that they got robbed last year by two guys who were, you know, gone.
As Paul says a lot, they're not afraid.
No, they're not afraid.
But that's why I wanted like Houston. Won. That's why, you know, when we talked about how it could break down, I didn't want it to come down to Cincinnati beating Houston. And then the Patriots were going to get Baltimore because I thought Baltimore would come here. And I think the Patriots would win. But that's a team that comes into this stadium. I would fear Baltimore more than I would fear Houston right now. I think Houston's a better football team. I think their more talented football team is Houston. But right now, I would fear Baltimore more because they'll come in and play. They'll think that they think they're better. And they'll come in here with confidence. And it won't be because they pooped themselves that they lose the game. It'll be because they're just not good enough.
But don't you think we owe them one, too? Because
sure we do.
Baltimore?
They beat us by one.
No, for what?
They just beat us.
But I think that they're the nine games that we beat them, I think, are more on Baltimore's mind than
I know what Michael's
than
saying
one
is,
random, you know, meaningless September game.
Well, what Michael's just saying is they got us the last time.
Did they? Did they?
Well, first of all, you don't think they did.
Michael
one.
Said it.
You actually had the Patriots winning
that
game. But
no, Baltimore
we won the game.
The redemption story of that would be Baltimore's,
when
not the Patriots.
When you hit a field goal and it's good, you win the game. It's that simple.
Right, and that's what Baltimore did.
You know?
Oh, wait.
So
Michael, you don't have any fear, any doubts right now. You kind of already have your room in New Orleans already booked, huh?
Yes, sir.
I love Patriots fans.
Well, I like the confidence. I just like to hear about some reasons. Like, I like to hear, well, I think this and this is going to happen. You know,
Bronx
whatever.
Back.
How does it
that's a
if
reason.
You're a fan,
Talib and Dennard are healthy.
If you're,
that's a secondary. It's going to look good again.
That's a reason. I like that.
If you're a fan,
I like Jones. Looks like early season Chandler Jones.
I like the confidence. I have no problem with confidence.
If you're a fan, what's the upside of, like, being worried and thinking you're not going to win?
There isn't an upside, but it still happens. The Houston fans don't feel good right now.
What fun is that?
But we just said that. I have no problem with the confidence. I think
you can't just always be blind, though. At some point, there's some reality that seeps into your analysis.
But you happen to be a fan of the Patriots, where there is reason to be confident.
Just because you're a fan doesn't mean you're psychotic.
Yeah. Well, there's reason to be confident.
I was confident heading into the Bears Super Bowl, too. It was stupid.
So the Texans should be ultimately confident. They should be planning to play the Broncos next week.
Absolutely.
So you don't believe in, like, actually honestly assessing things.
That's what we do. But you're not supposed to be a fan.
As a fan. Oh, good.
funny how that works out, Andy.
No, but even as a fan, I mean, maybe I'm negative. Maybe it's just the cynic in me. But I'm always looking at it. Yeah, I really don't think we got a chance in this game. You know, like, I don't always think you're going to win.
Yeah, I never look at it that way.
With the Patriots?
There's degrees
with anybody I'm rooting for. Like, I was rooting for Notre Dame last night. I thought there was a good chance they were going to lose.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't confident.
Yeah.
And I've been a Notre Dame fan since, like, the early 80s.
But when do the Patriots go into a game being that kind of an underdog? Never. That's the point.
But the Texans are, and you said the Texans should feel like...
No, we're talking about Patriots fans.
No,
right
you're
now.
Talking about fans.
You're talking about fans.
He's doing it again. He changes the entire argument.
You said, what's the point? What's the fun in that, you said? You weren't talking about the Patriots. You were talking about fans in general. Fan of a team. What's the fun in not thinking you're going to win?
The Texans are the exact same, right? Aren't they a 10-point underdog?
I think they are, yeah.
Just like Notre Dame was a 10-point
underdog.
9.5
or 10 points, and they're both 12-4. So it's not like... They're not even like Notre Dame. Because they're on the level of the team that they're playing. Notre Dame clearly was.
I think it's more fun, and I'll say as a general fan, to convince yourself you got a chance.
I always feel like that.
Yeah.
As Joe fan, and you're right, it's still a little bit different when we're sitting here behind the microphone. But as Joe fan, you know what it is, Fred? Andy didn't sit on the cold benches.
That's right.
Like you and I did.
He was in the, you know, comfy Nescaq.
Yes, in a leafy suburb somewhere, playing football.
The
very epitome of
the small
autumn football.
The autumn
wind is a raider.
We're not
that
as
was,
good,
that was
but we'll
Harding
charge
College.
You just as much.
More.
But I always felt the Patriots would win, but I had degrees of confidence. You know, like playing Denver.
Yeah.
You know, we could never beat Elway. Yeah, I went into every game. This is the year. We're going to beat them this year. This is what. But I didn't feel the same way going into that game as I did, you know, playing someone that was obviously a lot less than Denver. And right now, it's different because the Patriots have just been dominant for 12 years. There's no reason to not think you're going to win any game now.
Chris with the TINs on the line. Hey, Christian.
Plus it's the Giants.
unless it's the Giants.
Before I get to my Patriots point, I wanted to know what you guys thought about the games overall this weekend, like in regards to quality.
Yeah, they were pretty
lousy. Do you really want to hear from me?
I'll leave
that
to Andy.
Do you really want me to tell you yet again it proves that the NFL sucks and it's a down year and there's not that many good teams and it's bad football?
That's exactly what I was looking for, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, and it's also a case against expanding the playoffs for
sure. Oh, God,
yeah.
Exactly.
You got, what do you call them, bum, Paul? Poop bum teams playing on wild card weekend already. That was bad football. There was not a lot of good football being played.
No, but I thought the best game of the weekend. I don't know what.
So if you have all these bad teams in football, you might as well cut it down to four.
I'm all for that.
See, I said this to Andy because I've
never.
I've been sort of not passionate, but I've been sort of on the expansion side of things. I can see the merits of it, but I said to Andy, I'm not opposed to making it four either, because if we have two bad teams in the playoffs now, what's two more? And I know everybody pointed to San Diego. San Diego would have been the eighth seed in the AFC, 7-9. But no one talks about Chicago and the Giants, which would have been 7-8 in the NFC, two 10-6 teams. The Giants in particular, I think, 7-seed, 8-seed, whatever, would have had a very legitimate chance to make a run.
Sure.
That's not a bad football team.
And it's not.
But everybody only wanted to talk about San Diego. Pittsburgh would have been the other playoff team in the AFC, and that's another team that I wouldn't have wanted to play.
It's another dangerous team. Yeah.
And in regards to the Texans, I certainly don't think it's going to be a blowout, but Houston didn't show me anything on Saturday that made me think that they had a better chance coming in this time and winning. And nope. I think we all know the only way they win this game, I think two ways they win this game, is Arian Foster runs for like 150 yards and the Patriots basically throw up on themselves offensively.
Mm-hmm. But even with the Foster thing,
I don't think they need both of those things to happen.
Well, I'm not sure because he did that against the Bengals and Schaub couldn't do anything, so they just kicked field goals.
Yeah.
And if you kick field goals, you're going to lose. That's my point with Schaub. Everything that you – okay, I give you, Fred. They're a physical defense from Cincinnati up, but you rushed for 140 yards. Your physical aspect got the job done. Now I need Schaub to be a leader and make a couple plays through the air. You have weapons. Use them. And he couldn't do that.
You're right.
He couldn't do it.
You're right.
You're right, Andy. You're right.
What do you guys think about, obviously everybody's talking about Gronk being back as the X factor and just, you know, for us, this gives us another piece, another weapon. What do you guys think about a guy like Brooks Reed, who played really well this weekend? Does he have a bigger impact, you know, on the defensive side of the ball for them and limit, you know, a guy like, I don't know, Hernandez or maybe some backs coming out of the backfield? Or is he just going to unload and just straight pass rusher type guy?
I think it definitely helps, but, you know, it's not like they played without that position last time. But I think when you bring in Gronk, that is something that they didn't have to scheme for and plan for last time. And that makes a bigger difference than Brooks Reed being back.
Fred is all in this week. I don't know if people can tell, but Fred is all
That's
in.
What we need.
Homer, Kirsch, it's all rosy sunglasses this
that
week.
That was one of my favorite
Fact,
pieces.
Not opinion.
That was one of my favorite pieces of analysis I've ever heard. The Patriots,
Fact, not opinion.
The Patriots played without a tight end.
No, you know what I mean.
It's not
you
like
know what I mean.
It's not like the Texans played without an outside linebacker.
Next man up for Brooks Reed is a lot different than next man up for Rob Gronkowski.
Well, I think that Gronkowski's
yes or no, is that true? Or
I think Gronkowski's obviously a better player, but there's an enormous drop off between Brooks Reed and the guy who replaced him.
I don't know if it's that enormous.
I really don't.
I think the bigger deal is Jonathan Joseph supposedly being healthy. I think that's a bigger
issue. That could make a difference.
I think that's a bigger thing. Now, Reed, I think, can help. He's a pass rusher.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be a difference either.
If you're dedicating attention to J.J. Watt, that might free up Brooks Reed. That's kind of how that all works. And if Joseph is covering, they can be more aggressive with Brooks Reed, that kind of combination. I do think Patriots fans are poo-pooing that a little too much, the fact that Reed and Joseph could be a little different this time around. One's playing and one's healthy. They're just saying Gronk. They're like, you, Gronk, that's the only difference
Plus,
in this game.
Gronk's not healthy. So what you're going to get out of him,
fine.
I have no idea.
He's okay with one arm.
He's fine. Gronk's better with one arm than most tight ends with two.
Yeah, and that might end up being the case.
All right.
See you, Christian.
But Brooks Reed was, you know, the other part about him is it's been a really down year for him all around because he's been hurt so much and he's missed so much time. He only has like 3 sacks.
Right.
Or something like that. There's a bunch of guys ahead of him on that list, but he's missed a lot
of
time.
Who had him as their defensive player of the year?
No. He missed like 6 games.
No. Coming into the season, somebody had him as their defensive
player. I don't know.
Fred.
No.
No, I want to
no,
say
sorry,
it was
that
a
was
national
Cam Newton.
Guy. And I just I don't
defensive
see
player
it.
There?
I think someone did have Brooks Reed as their defensive player of the year.
I don't see it.
Let's blame Peter King. Peter King, check.
He's usually the wrongest. A little side note I've been meaning to rant on, just a quick thing on the RG3 thing. Nothing to do with RG3 or the coach. They have $1 billion stadium and $1 billion quarterback.
And it goes into a wooden shack.
Well,
it, goes
into it like, used to be $1 billion
but
stadium.
But it looks
anymore.
Like a tool shed that, like, and he doesn't even have headroom. It's, like, angled, and he's got to kind of, like, duck under.
Well, that's the secret entrance.
But it looks like they gave me a couple nails and a piece of plywood and some red paint and said, we need a door. Like,
I think it used to
what's
be.
What's going on
It
there?
Used to be something, I think, similar to what the Patriots have, and they just built that makeshift thing over it.
But you couldn't make something that looked a little better, more permanent?
Well, you couldn't
make. And by the way, flat?
You couldn't put it above the level of the wall, so that's why you still have to bend
over.
Well,
then make the. That's an embarrassment. That look. Yeah. They just showed it, but.
No, I know.
That's like Candlestick Park type embarrassment where you're doing everything you can to get a new stadium, and we're not. Like, correct me if I'm wrong. They're in this stadium. This is their stadium.
Well, they. You know, that stadium's been around a while.
To me, that's embarrassing, an absolute embarrassment.
Yeah, it's when you go, you haven't traveled in a while, but that stadium.
I've been there.
I know that stadium is looking its age. It's starting to get a little worn down, and you know, shame on them for not keeping it up. You know, it's not like they have to let it wear down, but they do. Let's go to Michelle in Stockholm. Hey, Michelle.
Hey guys, Happy New Year's.
You too.
Hey, girl.
Hey, love the enthusiasm, Fred. I love it. Although I feel a little bit, like, cautiously optimistic. I mean, if we come out flat and I really think that we'll win the game. And if we go up by 2 touchdowns, there's no way that they're going to win. No way. Like, Matt Schaub, he didn't, like Christian said, the game he played against Cincinnati, like, that wasn't convincing. His performance hasn't been convincing for a while now. So I don't really think that we're going to lose. But and another thing about Washington, their field, what's up with that?
Yeah.
Like, that is just a lawsuit waiting to happen. Good Lord.
It reminds me of the Patriots a little bit, the how bad our field was and how much talk there was whenever that was. Yeah.
They're talking at San Francisco right now is every bit as bad as the Washington run over the weekend.
I mean, why do you have real grass in Washington?
Got to get rid of them.
Really?
Pittsburgh. I'm telling you, there should be a rule. Southern California or Florida, that's it. Everybody else needs to have some sort
especially
of field turf.
Especially since they've now, I mean, I know I have my questions about the new age turf, but a lot of people don't seem to. People seem to be very comfortable with the field turf, the rubber bits and everything. I don't know why you wouldn't put it in.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
It just
that
looks
either.
Better on TV.
It does.
I think, to go back to the Patriots, I think this bye week is going to, that's just made the whole difference. Like, we're going to come in and we're going to be as healthy as we've been all season. And it's going to be good. And I don't know the impact of Gronk. Who cares, really? It's going to be good. We're going to win.
All right, Michelle.
Confidence is brewing globally.
Right. Thanks for the call, Michelle. See, that she's a fan. She's having fun. Why go in all worried?
Well, but she's like cautiously optimistic.
Yeah,
she said
she did say she was cautiously optimistic.
I didn't hear that part.
I actually think
we're moving on up with Jefferson. He's in Salt Lake City. Hey, Jefferson.
I see what you did there.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
Good, good. How's my reception? Last time I got cut off because it was nasty. I sound okay over there?
You sound good.
You're okay. Yep.
You're doing good. You're doing good.
Awesome. Hey, is anybody else, I mean, you know, I don't want to put the Patriots in the Super Bowl just yet. I mean, obviously that's where I'm hoping it goes. But is anybody else chomping at the bit at a New England-Seattle Super Bowl? They just seem to me like a team that can just shock everybody in the NFC. I know that, you know, they still have, you know, a couple of teams to go through, but it just seems to me like that would be the greatest what comes around goes around.
I wouldn't mind
ever.
Seeing it. It would be great theatrics with Dick Sherman before that, you know, with his comments. And obviously Pete Carroll will never be short of comments. So, that you know, that would be a good week of pregame,
I think. That's the one I'd like to see at this point. I think it would be very fun for a lot of reasons. Pete Carroll, I think the offense, defense, the great offense, great. And then the personal, the Brady, Sherman.
Right.
You kind of have all these little sub headlines, and even with Russell Wilson, just sort of what he's about as the third round pick who's too short and kind of his whole story. There's a lot of fun that could come out of that week, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that to me, I think, is the coolest thing. I mean, you know, you listen to the interview that he gave, you know, where he said, you know, he feels like he's the MVP, you know, or the rookie of the year. And obviously, you know, they all need to feel that way. If you don't feel like you're the best, then what the hell are you doing in the league? But, I mean, that to me, just he's done so much, and the guy is just a prolific passer. I mean, and you know, his mobility, he's just an incredible quarterback. It's hard, even though he's, you know, on an opposing team, it's hard not to like the guy. You know, I mean, it's like Wes Welker's, you know, back there throwing the ball out. It's insane to me.
So would you feel, just real quick, would you feel confident? Yeah. I know, I mean, things can change in the next couple of weeks, but would you feel confident in that matchup, Patriots, Seahawks?
Hell no.
Really?
Well, here's the thing. I mean,
you gotta,
like they say, cautiously optimistic. I mean, Seattle, I think that, yeah, I mean, it was early in the season when we lost to them. Obviously, we were playing in Seattle, and that crowd gave us a lot of problems, you know, in the offensive huddle and, you know, just with the noise and everything like that. I think that we would win, but I think there's, you know, some X factors there. The problem, again, it's Russell Wilson. I don't think our offense would have as much of a problem, but Russell Wilson's come out and, you know, shown that he can put up 40, 50 points. You know, and our defense, you know, is, you know, progressive as it has been over the season. I mean, we still have some, you know, secondary issues back there sometimes, and sometimes the pass rush isn't what it should be. And, you know, I mean, just the mobility of that guy. I mean, we got after him a lot of times when we were in Seattle. He was just able to find a way to get out of it. And well, it's just, you know, there's an X factor there.
I think Seattle can cause trouble. I think that might be a bad matchup for the Patriots. They got those big guys that can do what everybody says you have to do, disrupt the guys coming off the line of scrimmage, the wide receivers. They seem to be able to do that. Young, fast defense, you know, so they could be the type of team that could give the Patriots trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, I got one more thing. Last year at the beginning of the season, you guys remember the interview that Eli Manning gave where he said that he belongs in the same conversation as Tom Brady, and everybody was giving him flack for it for half the season. The guy came out and ended up winning the Super Bowl, kind of putting his money where his mouth is. Does anybody remember the interview that Joe Flacco gave at the beginning of this season? Saying that he believes he's the best quarterback in the NFL. And I mean, obviously, you know, a lot of flack there, but at the same time, you know, if you're playing quarterback in the NFL, you got to believe that, because if you don't, you know, I mean, you got to have the confidence going in every single game. But not that this is what I'm rooting for, but with the emotional, you know, Ray Lewis issue that, you know, seemed to give the Ravens a spark, wouldn't that be just kind of a kick in the nuts for the Patriots if Joe Flacco went and won the Super Bowl after that?
Oh, that'd be a kick in the nut for the Patriots. I agree.
Thanks for the call, Jefferson.
Thank you.
I don't buy it, but I agree.
Okay.
By the way, I wanted to finish his sentence when he said, you know, if you don't think you're the best, your matchup. Because I actually think Joe Flacco thinks he's the best. He's not, but I do think Joe Flacco believes he can do the job. I'm not sure Schaub does.
Yeah, he's not, you know, elite, but I have no problem with him feeling like he is underrated and doesn't get his due. I think he's the poor man's Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers always thinks that he's not considered as good as he really is. Now, Aaron Rodgers is a lot better than Joe Flacco.
Right, but what?
Did you guys read the new Facebook quarterbacks? You know, the fake quarterbacks.
The new one? I haven't seen the new one.
It just made me think, when Aaron Rodgers speaks, he calls himself the mighty Aaron Rodgers and mighty in caps whenever he says, last week the mighty Aaron Rodgers had three touchdowns.
But what does it say about a guy, and, you know, we're talking about Flacco now, that feels the need to say that, you know, I'm underrated. People don't give me enough respect.
I think it's very similar to Aaron Rodgers, only without the talent.
Yeah.
I think Aaron Rodgers is in a stratosphere that Joe Flacco will never even see.
Yeah, but
never mind reach.
I can see why Flacco feels the need to do it. I don't see why a guy who's a Super Bowl MVP feels the need to do it.
But don't
to
you
me,
feel like he
validated?
Does?
Whereas Flacco, you're not. Even though you've gone to the postseason and you go to the AFC title game, that doesn't really validate you. No one looks at that.
I
and
feel
says,
like every time
I'm not saying Flacco might be right, but what does it say about a guy who feels the need to say it? I mean, he might be right.
But this is what I'm saying.
Aaron
Rodgers feels the need. I feel like every 2 months, Aaron Rodgers is chastising the media.
And it doesn't mean you're not good. It doesn't mean you lack something that makes you good or not good.
I don't know.
Because, Aaron Rodgers played the game as well as any quarterback has ever played.
I don't have any problem with what he says. I only have a problem with what he does. If Joe Flacco played like Aaron Rodgers, it wouldn't bother me a bit that he feels the need to validate himself.
But Rodgers' talent can overcome. But when you're Flacco, should you be worried about that? Shouldn't you just be worried
I don't have
about
any problems.
Better?
Like I said,
they're
I don't have any problems with that.
They're all human beings.
I don't have any problems with what they say. I only have a problem with what they do. And he doesn't do enough. Now, I also think that he's sort of victimized because of some of that stuff. He's good. He's not great. And listen, there's a lot of guys in this league that were good. There's no shame in that. But he is the first quarterback ever to win a playoff game in his first 5 years in the NFL. That's an accomplishment. You know, Andy and I were talking about our buddy Mike Felger. Check.
Your buddy, Mike Felker.
You know, who has an absolute love affair with all things Tim Tebow. He's a winner. All the cliches that you can come out with, right? He did this. He did that. He just finds a way to win. So it doesn't matter how well you play as long as your team wins. Well, Joe Flacco's team wins.
Right.
All the time.
Right.
For 5 years, he's been in the league, and all his team does is win. A lot more than Tim Tebow did last year. But yet he stinks.
Well, the question to ask Mike Felger is,
he sucks.
Who would
you
have as
your
quarterback, Joe Flacco or Tim Tebow?
And he would say Tim Tebow. Well, then unequivocally.
That's crazy.
Unequivocally, he would take Tim Tebow. Now, if you're asking me about any of the so-called elite quarterbacks, either of the Mannings, Rodgers, Breeze, Brady, Roethlisberger, there's probably a few. Matt Ryan right now is probably in that.
How about Schaub or Flacco?
I'll take Flacco over Schaub. I think Flacco has accomplished a lot more in this league than Matt Schaub has. I honestly believe that. I think they're very similar. I think they're very similar guys. I don't think you can get where you want to go with them. I think that they will stop you from getting to the Super Bowl
is
at some point.
Is this because Flacco came from Delaware?
A little bit.
That I think he can't get you where you want to go?
That he's good. That you like him.
Do you not think he's... If you don't think he's good, you can disagree.
No, I think... But you really love him.
No, I don't. I think that he's the reason the Ravens can't get to the next level.
Okay.
As we like to say, like him, don't love him.
Exactly. Like him, don't love him. I mean, you can't deny some of the throws he makes.
Oh,
but I also can't deny that he gets spooked by the pass rush.
Sure.
But can you just see the TV networks, whoever has the game? They have the potential of Brady Manning. They could end up
Flacco
with Schaub. Flacco.
Somewhere Les Moonves is like, no!
And then Schaub and Flacco think, well, one of us has to go to the Super Bowl.
Well, that's the other thing. We were talking yesterday. I was talking with a TV guy, our buddy No Sox, and Boomer Esiason made a comment saying, you know, he's part of the CBS pregame show. I know my bosses are praying on their hands and knees to have another Brady Manning AFC Championship game. I'm sorry, but that's not a comment that anybody affiliated with any network should ever say. You know, this is how many billions of dollars do the networks pay to get these games?
Right.
You don't want to give off any possibility of impropriety.
Sure.
I mean, they're openly rooting for this to happen, and they're the network, and they pay a lot of money, and can we, you know, don't tell me it doesn't happen in the NBA.
And then all of a sudden the calls are going a certain way early in the game, and people say, well, Boomer was saying the networks really wanted, who pay billions, really wanted Manning and Brady, and people start to put two and two together, and you have a problem.
The only thing worse is
you know what? You got a Notre Dame Saturday on your hands.
Or an Alabama Monday night, Tuesday
night. Just a beatdown.
John's calling all the way from Hawaii, so let's get him off there. Hey, John.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. We just want to thank you guys for having me on the air. How's everybody?
You're very welcome.
You're welcome. Are you enjoying a nice sunny day in Hawaii today?
Yes, I am. It's actually a very rare occurrence. For the last 3 or 4 weeks, it's actually been raining a lot.
Oh, really?
I'm thankful that today we have some sunshine.
Well, and it's good for
did
the
you guys
fauna.
Watch the BCS championship last night?
We did.
Yeah, the first half.
Okay. Okay. Right. Exactly. Now, I just want to share some humor about what's going on in this community. We know that there was three local boys on that Notre Dame team.
Yep.
So there's a lot of fans over here in this community in Hawaii. And tell you what, this morning listening to ESPN radio, they're very upset, very sad, very depressed feeling. And I can compare it. I sort of feel like I'm in Houston about 4 weeks ago when the Patriots went and smashed them out 42-14. And I feel like this Sunday, the Houston Texans fans will be feeling similar to how these fans felt.
Okay, and I hope so.
Similar to how they felt 4 weeks ago. Also, I wanted to, something I've been wanting to ask you guys for a few days now is, wanted to ask about the healthcare providers on the team and the organization. And I noticed that we had three players this season that were involved in suspensions for performance-enhancing drugs.
Right.
And I know that the three players were suspended, and I know that there were some other players on other teams that actually appealed and won their case. And the thing that concerns me, because I work in healthcare, is what is the problem? Is it because the players are not educated enough by the organization? Because shouldn't they disclose that information prior to actually get on the field and letting them know, like, look, I'm taking this medication for this diagnosis. It's cleared by my doc. You know, I shouldn't be popping positive on a urine analysis or a blood test.
You're kind of breaking up there, John.
Okay, sorry about that.
Okay, but we get the gist. We'll answer the question off air. You know, I think every guy's case is different. I think some of these guys, and, you know, I'm not saying anyone, you know, who each guy is, but I think some of these guys use these things for masking agents. Some of them probably take it, you know, these over-the-counter things legitimately that are banned, you know. So there's all different reasons. Some are, you know, just, you know, flat out using PEDs. So you can't, you know, paint a brush broadly and say, oh, you know, they're making a mistake by not telling their team what they're doing.
Right.
They're all, it's all, every one of them is different. In the case of Richard Sherman, you know, he believes he got off on a technicality, didn't he? He said that, you know, they mixed,
certainly seems that way.
They mixed up the samples. There was no saying that I definitely didn't do anything against the rules. He just said that there was a flaw in the testing procedure, and he was ruled, you know, was ruled correct,
which is weird.
Yeah,
is that the only? That's the only guy who I know of,
right?
Because I think he said there was several of the guys.
And Tlaib failed before he got here. Tlaib was still suspended when they acquired him, but that was from Tampa, so you couldn't.
Yeah.
Whatever the generality you're trying to paint with the three, he wouldn't even count.
I whether it's the Patriots or any other team, I really doubt that they're not being really clearly educated as to, you know, what's right, what's wrong, how do you, you know, what you're going to get caught for. You better not do this. You better tell us what you're doing. I'm sure they all do. But these guys are stupid, a lot of these players. They take risks because they never think they're going to get caught, whether it's PEDs or driving while intoxicated, whatever. They think that they're bulletproof and until they get nabbed. And
you imagine,
it happens all the time, and it's just stupid. So, but there is no one answer to
can you imagine what a guy like Ray Lewis has in his body right now?
Nope. Because, I mean, this is, okay, performance-enhancing steroids or those types of things are all the rage these days. But the underlying story is this whole ongoing Toradol.
Oh, kind for the painkiller.
Yeah. And you had another, somebody came out this week. Or recently I read something about talking about in college, you just lined up. Guys that weren't even hurt. Like, you didn't even have, like, specific injuries getting the shot just so you wouldn't feel the pain of the game.
Jeez.
You wouldn't feel the pain of the game until the next day. Mm. And, you know, it's a major issue. There's a guy suing, I believe, USC for having a heart attack because he was given Toradol. And now there's all these issues there. And the doctors, are they even, like, you know, paying attention to the guidelines of the drug? There's a million of these issues all layered together, you know, steroids, Adderall, Toradol, you know, uppers, downers, painkillers.
Midol.
That too, especially for RG3, since you think he didn't hurt his knee, he hurt his, you know.
Yeah.
You're sticking with that?
Despite the fact that one report had him missing 18 months.
I think the second injury, I think he was, his injury happened before the game. What he did on that fumble did not make it any worse.
You're absolutely out of your mind.
Yeah. That was pride. All right, let's take a break. Food's here. When we come back, got a lot of emails, some more phone calls, lots of stuff to get to here on PFW in Progress.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the red zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Ah.
That is the unmistakable scent of smoked sausage in this Dunkin' Donuts breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, you mentioned that 4 whiffs ago.
True smoked sausage deliciousness must be treasured.
Hurry in today for the unmistakable taste of the smoked sausage breakfast sandwich from Dunkin' Donuts. It's deliciously irresistible. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Stop by Dunkin' Donuts and get a freshly brewed coffee. America runs on Dunkin'.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only 4-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Like so many soldiers returning home from combat, adjusting to life as a civilian hasn't been easy for retired Army Staff Sergeant Ben Dellinger.
The hardest part was getting out. You don't lose your friends, but like basically all those people get taken away from you all at once. It felt like my life was over at times. Everything I thought I was totally different.
American heroes like Ben face many challenges when they return home. That's why, for more than 90 years, Bank of America has partnered with military organizations to support jobs, housing, and critical needs of veterans and their families. We're also committed to recruiting and hiring veterans, reservists, and military spouses. And for Ben, we partnered with Military Warrior Support Foundation to award his family a mortgage-free home.
This is something I never expected to happen, and I'm truly grateful to each and every person involved.
To find out more about Bank of America's efforts, visit bankofamerica.com/military support. 2013 Bank of America Corporation. Bank of America, N.A. member FDIC.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. PFW in Progress presents Car Shopping with Fred Kirsch.
You know, when I first got married, my wife's car, she had a Subaru Outback, okay? The woman across the street comes over and says, oh, you have a Subaru Outback. That's a lesbian car. And I'm up pruning the tree. I'm like, who asked you?
Never question the boss when it comes to cars.
Did you say that? Yeah, I said that to her. Who asked you? But my point is, who cares? If lesbians have adopted the Subaru Outback, but I like a Subaru Outback, I don't care.
Because there's
only people like you that have hang-ups.
No.
Did you listen? I have a hang-up.
Nobody will ever tell Fred Kirsch or his wife what to drive. Now back to PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, Javon from Montreal writes in, hey, Fred, Andy, Paul, and Eric, longtime listener, first-time emailer. Great news. I just downloaded the Patriots Football Daily app a couple days ago. Love it. Looking forward to the game this weekend, even though there's a chance I might miss it due to work. I believe there are no easy games in the NFL, especially in the playoffs. This will be hard fought, and it will not be a blowout. for the Patriots or, God forbid, the Texans. I think the fact that Gronk is healthy will be a difference on offense, and stopping the run will be the difference on defense. Keep up the good work. That's Javon from Montreal.
I always like to have the first-timers.
Patriot football daily.
I like the first-timers, Freddie. And I agree with the Gronkowski angle that you brought up earlier in the show, and clearly the listeners do as well. I mean, I think that's a big wrinkle in the offense that the Patriots hadn't really had, and Brady talked about having everybody really for the first time all year.
Joel and Merrimack, after watching the lackluster effort by Houston, the only thing I can say is bring them on. Matt Schaub has thrown one touchdown in 23 quarters. Brady should be able to run the up-tempo offense, and with the addition of Gronk, this should not be a difficult game. Little tuna coming up there. When I watched the Texans crap all over themselves when they had a chance to secure a bye and home field advantage, I did the Paul nod. So I'm going to do the same thing that everyone hates the most, namely look right past the Texans. I'm more interested in hearing your opinion on whether you would like to face Baltimore at home or travel to Denver. Given my druthers, I take Baltimore at home. You never know which Flacco is going to show up, but you know which Manning you're going to face. Keep up the great show. I think everyone would rather take Baltimore at home.
Yeah, I would rather take
Paul's
Baltimore.
Friend Mike Felger?
I would rather play Baltimore at home, but I don't think it's as much of a blowout as, you know, the home and away thing would indicate. I mean, I think you would probably ask 100 people, and most of them off the top of their head would say, well, clearly I'd rather be at home.
Yeah.
But I think if Baltimore were to win in Denver, and you already couple on that what we were talking about Baltimore's mentality, that'd be a tough game. Now, I'd rather have that than having to go out to Denver, because I think at the same time, the one place that Manning can be vulnerable is that first playoff game. And I think that once he gets that win under his belt, he seems to be a little bit looser. And I also don't think that the whole choking thing with Manning is as dramatic. I mean, is the numbers. I mean, the win-loss record. I think he's had some good performances in games that they've lost, and people sort of overlook those. But I would rather play Baltimore than Denver. I don't know how you guys feel about it.
I agree. G4 Drive it in Georgia. Hey, Fred, Paul, Annie, and the guy that will be by later. At the risk of sounding like Paul, I have to say that I agree with Andy. After watching this weekend's game, there are no dominant teams this year. They all have warts. All the hype about Manning is just that, hype. Who's he beaten with a winning record? As for the Texans, Schaub doesn't have the tools to put up 37 points, and we have shown that Brady and Belichick can put up points on their defense. Plus, Gronk adds another dimension to our offense that Houston hasn't seen yet. I'm confident that we will host the Ravens in 2 weeks.
I hate to be argumentative with a guy who agreed with me, but if there were any dominant teams, they wouldn't have played this weekend. They would have been off, because the dominant teams would have been the one or two seeds, and they didn't play this weekend.
Right, and who did Manning beat with a winning record? Baltimore and Cincinnati would be the answer to that.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. Alvin's in Texas. Hey, Alvin.
Hey, what's up, Fred, Paul, and Andy, and Eric? Hey, how's the weather going to be there, like, this Sunday anyway?
Beautiful. Freaking beautiful.
Right now they're saying very similar to the last game.
50 degrees and nice.
Because I've been reading in the paper about this idiot number 23. I think his name is Arian Foster. He's been talking out of the trash like an idiot, and I know the pitch is gonna pull him and just lift him like a dog.
Wait a minute, has he been talking trash?
Yes.
What exactly has he said?
Not at all. He's been saying on Facebook that they own the Patriots a favor or something like that.
Yeah, that's not talking trash. They got beat 42-14 the last time they played.
Yeah, but he's been mumble jumbling up, and like my Facebook buddies are sending me all this tweets and everything about it. And like, they're like, yeah, they're going to get killed. And like, I told all my buddies, oh, we're going to kill them. And then like, remember 2010? That was then. This is now. What are you going to beat you? Paul, what do you think about us, like, on Denver anyway?
What was the question?
What do we think about Denver?
I think Denver's good.
Yeah, I mean, beating them, are we like 100% confident or like 50-50?
No, I think I'm 75% confident.
I reserve the right to change my mind once the games are played, but right now I would say 50-50.
All right, Alvin, thanks for the call. He just wants to talk, I guess.
He wants to talk Patriots.
Yeah.
You dropped the ball there, because he was looking for a homer, another guy who's ticked off at Arian Foster for thinking he can come into Foxborough and
win. I don't remember
him
saying anything to be ticked off about.
In fact, what I remember him saying is that guy on the other side, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. So if we think we're going to go there and win, kicking field goals, that ain't going
to
happen.
I just need to know what happened to Fred. Like, this is the same guy who, like, 3 years ago wouldn't have been able to find something that he said that was disrespectful.
Not yet.
Why all the... Fred.
I'm objective. That's just what you don't realize.
What you don't realize is how you can take the same comment and take it as a slight one time and then not a slight the next
time.
What's
the comment?
There was none.
Right. That's
just like
point.
Just like there really never have
give
been.
Give me a comment and I'll get outraged.
For every Freddie Mitchell that's been forced out.
Give me a comment. I'll show you rage.
Exactly. For every Freddie Mitchell that was legit talking smack, there's been 4,000 Arian Fosters that have done nothing but give verbal bouquets to the other team. But yet you find a problem with all of them.
Except for this one, I guess.
Except for this one.
Parker says...
That's because you're mad at Boston because everybody's dismissing the tomato cans.
Which I don't understand because you think there's no chance the Patriots lose. Like, you're dismissing...
I told you it's okay for him to say it.
I did not say that. I have never said there's no chance that the Patriots lose. Never said that.
I think you have said that.
Never.
I think you have.
I don't believe
so
it.
So you think there's a... What?
I don't believe there's...
So you think they could lose?
Absolutely.
Wow, Fred thinks they could lose.
But this is not a different Fred.
I think those chances are slim.
On the radio show, Fred, you said you think they could lose.
I'm still, you know, under my edict of never thinking anything's a sure thing with the Patriots this year.
Okay.
Parker says, what do you think of Foster needing Sean Hennessy to motivate him this week? check out the Twitter avatar. I would have thought that getting your booty whooped the last time would have been enough. So I have no problem with him using that as motivation.
I don't either. I like it. I think it adds to the NFL sort of just like theatrics.
I mean, you know that if some columnist, John McClain, for example, wrote that about the Patriots, it'd be up on the Patriots bulletin board.
Bill would be reading it. All right.
I mean,
okay.
That all's fair in love and war. That's fine. I have no problem with that.
I don't care about that stuff. The trash talk doesn't bother me. Either way, I don't have any problem with Shaughnessy's. I think Shaughnessy's column was ridiculous, but I don't think it's going to help Houston.
No.
I don't think any of that stuff helps.
Well, I think the cumulative effect of all of this talk kind of helps them a little bit, you know.
Not if they can't play.
No, but it'll help them the first 5 minutes.
Maybe. Yeah. Unless the first 5 minutes involves a 7-0 Patriots lead.
They either show up to play or they don't. I mean,
right, and this will help them show up.
And I read someone see, I don't think it will help them show up. I
don't really either.
I just don't know how you can need motivation to show up in a divisional playoff game.
And if you needed it, the extra motivation is how embarrassed you should be with the performance you put up last time. The fact that you were pulled from the game because you were so crappy.
It may have actually planted a further seed of doubt in Houston. Like, wow, this is what they think of us.
Right.
That's how bad we got beat.
Ken in Denmark, I don't know if my mind is just making this up, but I'm pretty sure this happened. In the time before the draft, a guy called in and recommended you to take a good look at Alfred Morris and keep an eye on him as a possible steal in the draft. If you knew that he would be as productive as he's been for Washington, would you have drafted him in the third round without knowing how productive Beckett would have been and knowing Ridley's production? Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't get the question, but yes.
You're going to tell me he would have rushed for 1,600 yards for the Patriots?
Yeah.
Would I have taken him in the third round instead of Jake Beckett?
Who was inactive 14 times?
I can't be a fraud. I have to say yes on that.
Second question, on a scale from 1 to 10, how much would you like the Patriots to draft D. Milliner in the first round of the draft if he's available? Guy from Alabama?
Yeah, cornerback. We'll get into our evaluations, and I'll have this year I won't be by myself at the combine. I'll have Andy with me, so Andy will teach me, you know,
What kind of
facial expressions I should be taking note of, and so I can cross people off my big board.
As you did last year.
I didn't cross anybody off my big board. Bruce Irvin got out of prison, and I wanted to draft him.
No, but you had – not in the first. You came back. You had some guys you didn't like.
As a clarification, not in the first round like Seattle did.
You had guys you didn't like last year. I remember it.
I had guys that I didn't like.
I didn't care for how his comportment and how –
Yeah, but they didn't come off my board. Will you stop?
Yeah, really, Andy. Andy is like...
I might have to take a break.
He's just like soiling his pants in the studio. It's ridiculous.
Really close.
I'm not sure I'm going to be able to go to the combine. I can't deal with that.
Oh, shut up.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Let's go to Tyrone
in
Delaware.
Hey, Tyrone. Is that a possibility?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Yeah, I want to break something down real quick. I hope you guys give me some time. I want you guys to hear me out.
I can't promise anything. Go ahead.
Well, I was listening to you guys. I was watching the PFTV, PFW TV, and I love this segment. You guys got, you and Andy, Paul, and Andy got trash talk. You guys was at each other. I thought you guys were going to fight, but anyway.
We do. Right after the cameras go off, we fight every week.
But what I was saying, Paul, I think, Paul, you were saying that you was a little concerned or whatever like that because of the health of the offense or whatever like that. And I was just wondering, going into this game, because why I felt that way, I Paul, and you alluded to it on the segment, that because we kind of struggled, because I expected with the Dolphins game, at halftime, after half, I expected we had blow them out, that had been done, but that quarter, and almost two quarters without scoring, that kind of worries me. And Paul, I just want to ask, was that a reason why you said, well, you kind of worry about offense?
Well, yeah, I think that the production over the last 5 weeks hasn't been... Now, listen, you're dealing with a very high bar because they're the number one offense in football.
Yeah.
But I just think that the production over the last 5 weeks wasn't as high as it was in the first 10 or 11. But I also, the number one overriding factor for me was health, and I didn't like what I saw of Gronkowski in that game. And if he can't be himself in the playoffs, I think that's a big difference. I expect him to be better, you know, 2 weeks removed from that game. But, what I saw against Miami, I didn't think was overly efficient offense. Now, the conditions, Tyrone, were really difficult that day. And I know we're just used to Tom Brady being able to, you know, light it up no matter what the conditions are. But it was very windy. It was very cold.
Wind.
It wasn't a lot of snow and rain and that kind of stuff. But it was a tough day to move the ball offensively. And you saw that with Miami. I mean, they couldn't move it at all.
I got you. But I got one other thing, right? And I hope you guys don't laugh at me. But I was looking at something where I'm hello?
Yeah, we're listening.
We're here.
Yeah, I'm under the impression that, you know, that when you practice well, like they give you a black jersey or whatever the case may be.
Yes, practice players of the week.
So I thought. Well, the Patriots' motto was: if you practice good, that earns you a spot in the game. And I was just curious why it was why Kamar Aiken was inactive.
It's a little bit different than you think. It's about practicing well, but those guys that get the black jerseys usually do something specific to helping them prepare for the upcoming opponent, like mimicking a certain player, and they get rewarded for that. Yeah.
Okay, because I was curious because I was looking on YouTube about this Kamar Aiken, and like I said, you know, during that game, the Dolphins game, CBS, I do a little segment where they said the Patriots was an inside-throwing team, and we saw Brady throwing the ball up on the sideline, and nobody can get open, and... You know, at this point, you know, Brandon Lloyd and Deion Branch, at this point, I'd rather see Kamar Aiken.
You are so consistent, Tyrone. The grass is always greener on the other side when it comes to wide receivers for you.
No, because I just feel that, yo, if they could just have that one person, they don't even need to be a Pro Bowler or a star. Somebody that could get open a little bit. But
I mean, you know, I don't think that a guy like Kamar Aiken's going to come in at this point in the season and gain Brady's trust that he's going to go to him.
Hey,
you know.
But one other point. But one other point, and I'm going to hear you off the air. Yeah, I understand that. But remember, in the Colts game and the Packers game in the playoffs, two guys just came off the street. The guy that made a punt return during the Texans, he just came off the street. He made a big play. And that helped him win the game. And then the Packers, they got a running back that they were selling tickets 2 weeks ago, and he made a big impact in the game. So you may never know, but I hear you guys off the air.
No, I mean, he's right, but that's a little different than wide receiver and Tom Brady. I mean, these guys just – you're not going to just come off the street and be part of this offense at wide receiver. It's just very unlikely.
Unless you're Dante Stallworth.
Yeah, unless you have an established – some type of track record. But
right.
Kamar Aiken, Tyrone, Andy just got back from the bathroom. Tyrone's, you know, yearning for Kamar Aiken.
Why? For what?
Well, because he likes the next best receiver. He's always...
But, I mean, you have
your trio back together finally.
Right.
Or your foursome, if you want to include Lloyd.
He doesn't like Brandon Lloyd.
Well, I don't either. And I think he's been a disappointment, but he's made some plays, he's been productive, and I think he's probably better than Kamar Aiken.
I mean, if you look at his numbers before the season and said, oh, this is going to be what Brandon Lloyd's numbers are, we'd be like, okay.
Yeah,
but
it just
it's just when they happen.
Numbers
right?
aren't everything.
It does prove that you have to look at the circumstance.
Because yeah. even you, Mr. Homer, Sonny,
right.
Rosie,
yeah.
in I'll the middle of the year credit. Was like, does he have to fall down every time?
And, I'll give Fred credit because he did. He analyzed it and he didn't just say, well, geez, you know, you look at the numbers. But he talked about it all year long. With the exception of the San Francisco game, he did not look really good
right.
in the 15 other games.
Right.
And I know we had some other games that were pretty good. I don't think he looked right in any other game but that San Francisco
game. He's shaky.
I don't think he was open consistently.
Right.
Yeah, like you have Gronkowski
oh, yeah.
back.
If you have everybody you have else, it's okay.
Yeah, but wasn't David Givens a fourth option at one time?
No, he was a second option.
No, he was a second really? Option. They never had the tight ends as options
yeah.
the way they do now.
Yeah.
It was Branch and Givens. I mean, in some playoff games, it felt like he was the first option.
Yeah. No, he certainly stepped up. Yeah, there's no
yeah,
doubt.
He was.
Now, they also, at those times, they had Corey Dillon and Antoine Smith, so they could run the ball far more effectively as a first option than they do
yeah,
now.
No,
but
it's Stephen Ridley's 1,200-yard rusher.
Yeah, but you know that they're
Paul
not
just poo-poos Stephen Ridley.
But you're not running the same way you ran with Corey Dillon.
Right.
Would you agree with that?
Right.
The other team's not ever expecting Stephen Ridley to be the feature of the offense. Corey Dillon,
but that's part of the passing game. It's also part of your defense because if you try to run the ball, then you're giving up points and all of a sudden poop's hitting the wind.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Let's go
you
to
just hate Stephen
Ridley. Melvin
oh,
in Tennessee.
I do not.
Melvin,
shut
I'll
up.
I'll assume that you're going to talk about your email, so I won't read your email. What's up, Melvin?
Yeah. Hey, what's up? How's everybody doing?
Good. Great.
Good. Okay. Well, as far as the game goes, I think a real important part of this coming up playoff game is just those first couple of exchanges. Both ways, two series offensively and two series defensively. Just to kind of see if you can get them kind of discouraged. You don't want to give a team like that without that potential that they do have, you know, really any type of, you want to remind them as much of that beat down as you can. So I think, you know, getting off to a good start again and hitting them right in the mouth, that can really get them second guessing themselves as far as, you know, if they are really the elite team that they think they can be. But do you all think that they're going to attack the Patriots differently? I really think they're going to be really trying to hit the scene, just like I said on email, more, even though Shab is shaky and probably doesn't trust himself, and that's what got him picked out the first time, is trying to go down the field when he hit, I think, Foster widely open down there for the dump off. But do you all think, since maybe watching that 49ers game, that they're just going to try to, like, oh, we approached the game plan wrong and, you know, then try to get back to their run?
I would hope so.
Good question, Melvin. Let's answer.
You have Andre Johnson. You have Owen Daniels. You have two
yeah.
very good pass catchers. I would be looking to get the ball down the field on the outside and Daniels over the middle. And as Paul says, what is it, second and long? Not a running down.
Second and 10, not a running down.
Right.
Now, I don't mind running the ball on second and 10 once in a while. As a matter of fact, the Patriots do it once in a while. But the problem is, for Houston, the Patriots aren't in second and 10 all that often.
Well, right. And the thing about
Houston was in second and 10 constantly that
on
night.
Offense,
they ran it every time.
Will Gary Kubiak be willing to come out of his comfort zone and be aggressive? You know,
Fred just calling out.
Well,
Gary
no, I mean,
well, and
I
he
think
did that
you
against
look at
Cincinnati.
What Harbaugh did. They came out gunning with Colin Kaepernick. If I was the offensive coordinator for the Texans, I would do the same thing. I would test the Patriots downfield.
I would, too.
Know, I would.
Especially when you have two starting corners who I assume are going to be back but are coming off injuries, and you're moving parts again. Devin McCourty is now back to safety, even though he's looked better there. Who
yeah.
knows? So I would, too, but that doesn't mean they will. They're not built that way. They don't think that way. They're not wired that way.
And to add into Melvin's thing, I think it's in particular important for the Patriots' defense the first couple of series because – I don't know how you guys feel, but I feel like when they get off the field after that first drive, if they get off the field without allowing anything, it seems to be a much, much better game for them. In other words, the Colts game, the Colts went down and scored, then they went down and scored, and then they turned it around. I think that's an anomaly. I think when they give up points early, generally the other team's offense finds a way to keep it going throughout the game. Mm-hmm. They might not score 35 points like the Patriots do, but they find a way to move the ball pretty consistently all day. Conversely, I think when the Patriots have success early, it really sets the tone. I think, in other words, you have to get the Patriots. It's like a starting pitcher. You want to get to him early and not let him set into a groove because
right.
once he does, I think the Patriots are much better once they react to when they know what you're doing.
I would say that on both ways, because I think if they can get to Brady early, they can send a message. If Watt can get in his face and Brooks Reed can get into his face,
but I would,
I think you can get Brady off his game and get him to snowball a little bit.
I would feel if it was 10-10 after the first four series, two for each team, I'd be more worried than I would if it was 0-0, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, the Texans have had some success.
The Texans have shown they know how to move the ball now.
They
figured out how to move it, and their defense might be able to slow you down at some point, and I'm not sure that ours can. Whereas if it was 0-0, I have a feeling that the Patriots defense is going to have a good game,
right,
and sooner or later the offense will figure it out.
As soon as they get those 7-10 points, you're nodding. You're nodding.
Yeah, I'll be worried either way. I think the beginning of this game is huge. Paul and I were talking about it, the old stupid cliche that we also broke down and said
mental.
Is really stupid. No, that you can't win a game in the first quarter, but you can lose it. I think the Texans can lose this game in the first quarter. If the Patriots get another lead, it's going to be, oh, here we go again. Now, the part we went
Patriots
into the
also can win the game in the first quarter.
If the Texans can lose it, then the Patriots can win the game in the first quarter. And I think that first two drives both ways, but I don't necessarily agree with that. I think if it's a tie game after four drives, I think you're in for a dogfight.
Yeah, but that's not what I said. I said I'd be more worried if it was nothing-nothing.
Yeah.
I'd look 10-10
than
nothing-nothing.
Yeah,
I didn't say I wouldn't be worried. I want to get off to a good start. I think the Patriots... Yeah, that's the only thing that we disagree on.
And I agree
on.
With Paul. If we can see that the defense is going to do their part, you know, we know the offense will eventually get it in gear. If the opposite is true, if the defense is having trouble stopping,
then I will never feel like the game is in hand because the other team's moving the ball too.
Right.
I expect the Patriots offense to move the ball and score.
Right.
If the other team is moving the ball and scoring, now I'm in a dogfight.
If
neither team is moving the ball and scoring early, I have more faith the Patriots offense will score.
I agree with that. Eric's here, out from the tundra.
Yeah.
Actually, it's not cold today. What am I talking about?
Not really.
You fooled me because you came in with your horsehair coat.
Oh, he's dying.
Well, I'm still not feeling well.
He's got the yellow fever.
Still not feeling well.
Yeah, I'm feeling, actually, I feel worse this week than
really?
I did last week.
Is
yeah.
that maybe
too much birthday party?
Yeah, I heard you were out late Friday night.
I wasn't out late, no.
No, but you had a little shindig.
I had some people over, yeah.
Not us, though.
No, not you.
Okay. I see where we stand on your invite list.
I only have so much room in the house. I can't, you know. It wasn't
and
an outdoor
you reserve
party.
It for those who you truly like. That's
yeah.
fine.
Yes.
That's fine. So what do you got going?
Justin Francis.
He's going.
He's not going.
Oh.
He's the only one. He's the only one not there today.
Oh.
We're a little bizarre because he's been there. No reason to think he shouldn't have been there.
No good reason to think.
No good reason to think he.
Okay.
When you're coming out of a long weekend
yeah.
and a guy like an undrafted young guy isn't there.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to speculate too much, but you worry. You know, the coaches always say when they're not with you, you worry where they are, what they're doing, and you're coming off a long weekend.
Are we going to lose sleep, though, if Justin Francis is hurt?
I'm not going to say lose sleep, but if Hightower and Ninkovich are also hurt,
yeah,
now you're
bodies.
Cutting into the depth that I thought we were building.
Okay.
You need bodies there.
Yeah. Yeah,
certainly.
Okay.
So,
you're right, Andy. That guy can make fun of me again.
That's the only eyebrow raiser.
Now, it could just be not injury related.
Was Brady there?
Yes, he was there.
He was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it could
I think he would have led with that.
Buried in
if
the
he
lead.
Wasn't.
I don't know. We're used to him not practicing on the first day.
Of the bye week, not the week of the game.
Yeah, not the week of the game.
Oh, he sat out Wednesdays this year.
Yeah, like a month ago during the regular season.
Okay, all right. Okay.
You're right, Fred. We've seen it before, but had he been not practicing today, Eric would have led with it, and it would be a major story.
What else you got, Eric?
Joe Webb starting for the Patriots.
No.
Yeah, right now.
Brandon Spikes continues to ride a bike. That's pretty much all he's done for the
Spikes
past.
Bikes?
Yeah, Spikes on a bike.
You sure that's not just a loosening up thing that he needs to do before he gets out there?
Well, but
for your 15 minutes?
That's what stretching is for.
I thought you just went to the bathroom.
It's unbelievable.
I did. I'm having issues today. Something is in my system.
Oh, for God's sake. Go back to the bathroom.
But don't tell me that you're not forcing
bathroom.
Them all
I'm
out.
Kidding.
I'm not. I am percolating. You know a cauldron with all those bubbles on the top? That's my system right now.
Go sit on the toilet.
I did.
Do it again.
Nothing happened.
This is like talking to a three-year-old. You need to go potty.
I do have to have this conversation with TJ all the time.
It's unbelievable.
Anytime he toots and I smell, I said, T?
It's going
to
be
you need to
one
go
those,
sit down?
Go home and leave the underwear in the sink for Deidre.
Oh. It could be.
That's what I'm
going
to do from now on. Andy, do you need to go sit down?
Right.
Still can't believe you do that to your poor wife.
I've done it.
Clean up your own mess.
I don't do it. I have done it.
Did you pass along the Erin Andrews comment, by the way?
Oh, I forgot. I will tell her that you think she's smoking.
She's a smoke show. I'm sorry. She might be terrible at what she does, but she's good to look at.
I thought you were going to say she might be terrible in bed, but she's a smoke show. For some reason, I thought you were going to say that.
Please, like I would ever find that out. That'd be the greatest 7 seconds of my life.
So what kind of illness do you have? You think you got the flu, Eric?
I think I do now.
Do you have a fever?
I did yesterday badly.
Okay.
Good thing
you're not in Chicago. They're turning people away. The hospitals are overflowed with flu.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Overflowed with flu?
Yeah, I've been battling a cold on and off for the past 2-3
decades.
London, right?
Since he got that yellow fever shot.
No, I think...
Coincidence?
I think the shots had a lot to do with this.
Oh,
because
Africa shots.
Yeah.
It's like Africa shots.
I think it's true because I haven't been this sick since I was a child.
And you're getting older and your system wears down. Well, you're in your 40s now.
But I also got 4 major shots all at once a month ago.
But,
and I think that wore down my immune system.
But if it was a big deal,
yeah, once you get over this, you'll be able to wrestle lions.
Well, maybe, and yeah, hopefully, because I'll be in the company of them pretty soon.
I'm rooting for the lion.
Don't worry, the lion has the advantage.
what's that movie, Out in Africa?
Out of Africa.
Oh, Out of Africa.
Out in Africa.
See, he pretends he did that by accident.
I know. All right.
What?
Wait, what? No!
All right.
But yeah,
we just lost another listener.
Now I think I have a... seriously have like a fever and chills the last...
What are you taking?
Aspirin.
Aspirin? You got a headache?
Are you preventing a heart attack long term?
Right. What's that going to do?
That's what I've always done for...
How about some Dayquil or...
Well, I have
ibuprofen for the fever.
You rub the stuff on your chest. I'm a big believer in the Vicks vapor rub. Oh.
Well, but
great.
I don't have that.
Just don't touch yourself in there.
I have taken the Dayquil for the... for the cold.
And the NyQuil. You take the NyQuil, too, right?
No, I don't take NyQuil.
You should, because that allows you to get a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
I'm dead serious about that.
Don't it'll you knock, see Drew Brees and whoever else on those commercials?
It'll knock you out, and you'll be able to get to sleep. And,
no, I'm telling you, you got to take NyQuil.
Okay,
and double the dosage.
Well, but Paul's saying it'll make me sleep. I'm not having trouble sleeping, though.
Well, no, but should. It also helps you get...
You're sick. You should be having trouble sleeping.
Aspirin?
I woke up a couple of times.
Yeah, obviously that's
not enough.
It's
like it's the 1850s and aspirin cures everything.
It's what's always worked for me, though.
Really?
Mm. Yeah, but you said you're sicker than you've been since you were a child.
Right.
I am.
So never had malaria before. This is malaria, and aspirin's not going
to
do it.
We need to order the Code Red.
Okay.
Cyanide pill.
All right. Beat the crap out of me? That's the Code Red, right?
I'm okay with that. Are you ordering the Code Red? Because you give me the nod.
All right, web radio
blanket party?
Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline.
Are you ordering the Code Red? You're sort of the Colonel Jessup here.
Marvin writes in, Paul, is it me or do you think the way the Vikings handled the Christian Ponder's elbow injury is a total crock of you-know-what? If that had been Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, the NFL's high sheriff, Roger Goodell, would have come down on Bill and the Patriots like a ton of bricks. Just saying. Thanks for all your guys' great work. Looking forward to seeing you guys next year at the Panthers game.
I'm going to have to plead ignorance on this one. What did the Vikings do?
I don't know. I don't know the injury report, but no one knew
he
that
was questionable.
Webb was going to start.
He was questionable all week, right?
I don't know.
Now, is the inference that they knew he wasn't going to play all week?
Obviously.
Because I thought it was a game time decision. I thought he tried.
He was limited all week in practice.
Yeah, and he was he was listed as questionable on
Friday.
And I thought he tried to throw before the game.
Questionable actually means questionable.
Yeah,
you know, if you're questionable here, you're playing.
But yeah,
I don't really know the information, so I can't call them out. But
yeah, actually,
it's hard to get a team if that doesn't happen more than once. If it's just that one time, you can't go back and say, "Oh, this is what they do with their injury report."
I do think it would be more of a story if it were Bill Belichick and the Patriots, just because. Of the idea is Belichick does something with the injury report. I mean, John Harbaugh. You know, Belichick figured this out long before the rest of us did. I give him credit for, like, there's this inference that Belichick is the, you know, crafty manipulator.
I even think Kubiak is sort of doing that a little bit this week. You see the thing that he normally talks about injuries on Mondays, and he said, I'm not doing it. We're changing our policy. We're not talking about it until Wednesday. And I think that's partly because they're playing the Patriots.
Could be.
But I had... Based on some of the stuff that I saw during the day on Saturday, I thought that Ponder was it was a game time decision. He went out for pregame and tried to, is that not accurate?
Did he not try to throw?
Yeah.
The reports were that Joe Webb basically took every single rep during the week.
Yeah, because he couldn't, because Ponder couldn't.
Then why was he
limited and questionable?
by Friday.
Well, if he flat out can't practice during the week and your number two is taking all the number one reps, I think that story in New England would have been a huge story.
Oh, God.
Because, I mean, this was such a story that, you know, Jay Glazer is a good information guy. He, like, A, when he reports it, it's usually right, and B, he gets stories that a lot of, and he was the first one I saw, like, sometime on Saturday, you know, hearing Vikings players talking about they're not sure who's starting a quarterback today, and Joe Webb took all the reps this week, and, you know, this was an interesting story, and I also found it interesting that NBC had his little headshot. Starting lineup.
Yeah, no, I'm fine with it.
I can guarantee you that NBC has Ryan Mallett's headshot just in case.
Yeah, they rarely miss. Apparently they've missed with us because they forgot to get Jeff Tarpinian.
Jeff Tarpinian. Someone else, too. Wasn't it two guys?
Maybe.
Tracy White. Yeah, that'd be a candidate.
It was
a
Super Bowl.
Oh,
Eric Alexander.
hey, guys, Michael here.
Maybe we should just get
Sterling,
all Patriots.
Sterling Moore was the other one. They started that night against the Jets. And because I remember Billy Lanny from the Sports Hub, who's the director of communications, but he's one of the guys behind the glass. And they did a little bit with him, and he pretended he had Sterling Moore, and he goes, the Southern Methodist University. That's what made me remember think of that.
Is but it true that you know more than the names of behind the workers, behind the scenes workers at 98.5 than here?
Yes. Well, that's where he wants to be.
No, it is where I want to be, but no, it's not true.
anyway. Go ahead.
If that's true, then I think that that's true. They Minnesota should get some static from the league for that. If they knew he wasn't going to play all week, and
I mean,
they had a charade.
How can you prove that? You know, look, we didn't want to have him do anything during the week, and we knew it was going to be a game time decision. You know,
right? We knew he was hurt, and we didn't want to make it worse, but we were still
right.
But what I'm saying
is,
if
he was starting,
if they knew that he wasn't going to play, and they listed him as questionable, I think that's wrong.
Oh, yeah, but how do you prove
it? Oh, yeah, how do you prove it? I don't think they knew for sure. They were holding out
Then I have
hope.
No problem with questionable.
They were holding out hope.
If they really thought that he could throw the ball on Saturday and be able to play, I have no problem with it. But if they knew that he couldn't play, right. And like Andy's saying, the fact that NBC had Joe Webb's video headshot sort of tells me that they knew that he wasn't going to play beforehand. And if that's the case, then I think Minnesota should be in trouble.
Michael says he's from Bellflower, California. What do you guys think if it was a Patriot and Green Bay Super Bowl? Would that be a good matchup for the Patriots? Green Bay's defense isn't looking good this year, and it will be a throwing match between Brady and Rodgers. Certainly.
Yeah, it would be.
I mean, he's right. I think the Patriots offense would score points, but I think the Packers offense would score points.
I think the better matchup, honestly, would be San Francisco.
You're coming in echoey.
Am I?
Yeah.
Are you hearing an echo?
That's just
well, I don't know. Our producer is
voice.
On ESPN. He's on Providence basketball website right now. He's not even listening to the show. He's on the Friars website.
A loser.
No, honestly, I think
they lost to DePaul.
I think New England would have a better matchup against San Francisco, having played them already, and knowing what they did wrong the first time. And I think they would be able to solve Kaepernick a little bit better than they did the first time around.
It's Kaepernick on this show.
Yeah. Fred Kaepernick.
Kaepernick.
Seattle's the team.
He would
beat
McCurdy.
I think Seattle's the team I would most like to see out of the NFC matchups.
But. Scott McAllister writes in. He's from Virginia. I have a Woody in my Tannenbaum for this Patriots-Texans matchup. I know everyone is saying, no laugh, Andy. You didn't like that?
I don't really get it. I know the Woody part, but what's a Tannenbaum?
It's a Christmas tree. He should just say, I have a Tannenbaum.
I have a Christmas tree?
Like a tent pole. Never mind. I know everyone is saying,
O Tannenbaum? You've never heard this Christmas song, O Tannenbaum?
I think I have, but what does that have to do with the Woody?
Well, you know, people say, oh, I got a tent pole in my pants.
So he's saying he has a Christmas
tree.
Sound
a little
in his
like
pants.
Brett Favre.
Brady pitching a tent back there.
Yeah, but it seems like there's too much.
Put my pants on one leg at a time.
Right.
Like, and I take my penis out.
Yeah, it's either you have the Tannenbaum or you have the Woody.
Who was that on the Brady call?
One of the Alberts.
Yeah.
Steve Albert.
I think it's Tom Brenneman. Or
oh, really? It sounds like one of the Alberts.
Yeah, Tom Brenneman does sound like one of the Alberts.
Okay.
Brady.
And he kind of looks like
a tent back there.
I know everyone is saying Houston's coming in more hungry and the game is going to be a lot closer than Week 13.
Who's saying that?
But I just
no one on this show.
But
no one at the Boston Globe.
I'm saying it. But I just don't see the game going any other way but a Patriots blowout. Fred, you say the Texans came out flat. They stated all week heading into the game that it was the most important game in franchise history. Then they pulled the Letterman jackets out. The entire franchise was primed to take that next step into the upper echelon of the NFL. Then they played a game that they weren't mentally prepared to play. If they can't get up for that game, they need some Levitra for this week's matchup. The Patriots, a lot of
Andy?
A lot of references here. The Patriots own them from the minute one because of one reason. They are that much better than the Texans. Houston isn't ready to take that step, and they proved that throughout the last quarter of the season when they played the games that matter most. Pressure cooker-type games made them tuck tail and run. The same Colts team that lost directions to the red zone against the Ravens last week beat this Texans team with its NFL's best defense when all the Texans had to do was win and they get the number one seed. Again, if they couldn't get up for that game, go get a prescription and make sure it doesn't last 4 hours. The Texans are fraudulent.
Need three, though.
The Texans are fraudulent front runners and can't handle the stress of being in a primetime game with the added pressure. The Patriots live, thrive, and excel in that type of game. For that reason, Patriots 42, Texans 17.
Oh, boy. Oh, it's almost not quite the same blowout.
Yeah. 3-point difference.
I agree with
God with a late field goal.
I agree with his overall premise. I just don't agree. I think he's defeating contradicting his reasons. He's saying that the Patriots are going to blow him out because they're that much better, and then all of his reasons for the Patriots being better is because the Texans can't get up for this kind of a game. They don't know how to emotionally prepare. I agree. That's why I think the Patriots are going to win this game handily, because I think they've been in these games many times, and they know how to play in these games. But I don't think that it's because the Patriots are that much better. I just think the Patriots are more equipped for this situation, and it comes back to our whipping boy, Schaub. If for whatever reason Matt Schaub finishes this game with like 350 yards and 3 touchdowns, look out, because the talent situation isn't as one sided as 42-14 is.
Right,
makes you believe.
Brett in Orlando, last time the Patriots beat the hell out of a team late in the regular season at home and then played them at home in the conference semis, Andy, they lost to the Jets. Houston still has, I hate that analogy. Anyway, Houston still has a really good defense.
Because it's negative.
And running game, which most people say wins playoff games. And Andre Johnson could go off for 150 yards and 2 touchdowns in any game. This team has a habit of making bad quarterbacks look good and average ones look elite. Houston strikes me as a good team that is just playing with no confidence. And if they can hang around in the fourth quarter, that will be a huge confidence builder, and they might steal this one. I hope they remember the Jets game and come out with energy and put this team away early and kill their will. Okay.
Why was he yelling at me?
Because you don't think there's any chance, and he's saying that there is a chance that the Texans win.
I just ignored Fred.
And he's pointing.
Right. I don't understand how I'm the bad guy for jumping on the bandwagon of the homers.
It just,
I am damned if I do. And
another,
damned, if I was saying Houston had, you know, talent and their balance, I'd be getting ripped. But I had the audacity to say I think the Patriots are going to roll.
Now, Fred, why do you hate that Jets analogy?
I just think that, you know, to compare this season to 2010, you know, or what happened before. Yeah, anything can happen that happened before. But aren't there also examples of the Patriots beating a team twice in a season? I mean, you know, you can make cases for any situation you want. There's been that many games in the NFL. You know,
no,
so
but,
I mean, you know,
but,
it's just yelling.
But to just say that the Patriots, there's been examples of beating a team twice before is not necessarily the same. This one is eerily similar in that in December, there was a showdown for AFC supremacy at Gillette Stadium on a Monday night. 45-3, 42-14. 5 weeks later, those teams played again at Gillette Stadium in the divisional round. I don't think there's a lot of.
Oh, you're right. I forgot Rex Ryan is now the coach of the Houston Texans.
Okay, so that's a reason why you don't like. I happen to agree with this one.
Because the great Rex Ryan isn't on the Texans.
No, I happen to agree with this reason. But to just say that, oh, there hasn't been example. Well, I don't know if there's been examples of the Patriots getting blowing out a team in December and then blowing them out again in the playoffs.
I have read that example in everybody's story that's written anything about this.
Because
game,
I think it's a very unique.
It's very easy.
No, it's a very unique scenario that happened the same 2 years
lazy
ago.
Lazy journalist.
It's not lazy.
Talk about the Texans. Don't talk about the Jets in 2010.
Talk about why you think it won't happen again.
Talk about the Texans, but don't mention that they got blown out at Gillette Stadium 5 weeks ago.
Right.
Don't talk about that.
I didn't say that.
So then what are you
Jets,
talking about?
The Jets.
And by the way, Bill Belichick acknowledged it.
Well, of course, man, he always talks about losses. He'll never talk about
the man who poo-poos everything.
He's talking about this situation and telling his team to make sure to do exactly what the emailer said. I hope that they come out ready to go and bury him early and don't let the same thing happen again. You don't think that's part of the preparation?
I hope that too.
But you don't think that's part of Bill's preparation?
I mean, I hope the Patriots don't get blown out 45.
Right. We can ignore what Andy just said, but don't you think that's part of Bill's preparation? That's why Bill's talking about the Jets game.
He reminds him of everything. You're right. You're right.
Okay.
You're right.
So is that
I'll stop and let you be patronized.
Is that low-hanging coaching, low-hanging fruit for the coach to just obviously
low-hanging fruit. It's lazy coaching.
Lazy coaching. Anything can happen. I don't know why he's bringing that up.
He's going to remind him of every time that they played, you know, any team in
it's
any
not,
situation.
It's not any team.
Similar,
it's not any situation.
Say, you know, this happened. It could happen again, so watch out.
Of it's course, not any team in any
that.
Situation, Fred. It's a colossal blowout with the conference title on, with the conference supremacy on the line in December.
Yeah.
And then a rematch in the divisional playoffs. That's not in any situation. It's the same exact thing.
There's no doubt that it could happen again.
But that's not what the point
is. I wish people could see your face because you're being so like condescending.
Unbelievable. Like
your faces and mouth.
If the Patriots.
It could happen again. Tom Brady, anything can happen. Absolutely. I agree with that.
As a matter of fact, and Teddy Bruschi brought this up.
What does he know?
The Patriots did the same thing to Pittsburgh. They got blistered in 2004 in Pittsburgh and then had to go back there for the AFC title game to play the 15-1 Steelers and then blistered them. Same thing. We can talk about that as a comparison because it worked out well.
No, I think that's just as irrelevant. It's just as irrelevant. You know? I think you got
to
talk about...
I think your Rex Ryan point to me, I'm 100% on board with. Rex Ryan...
They had a great game.
They
plan.
Left Gillette Stadium that night thinking they were better than the Patriots. They just played a bad game.
Right.
Houston did not think that. Houston was stunned by what happened to them. I'm telling you, you talk to those Jets players, they just knew if we get another chance, it will be different.
Right.
And I'm not sure that Houston feels that way. Now, if they come back and play with the same kind of swagger that the Jets brought here in January, they can win because they're good enough to win. I just don't think it'll happen. Mentally, I think they're weak.
Noel in Denver, even if the first quarter is all Texans, it's not going to mean anything for the outcome of this game. I've been watching Patriot games since 1960 and feel that they have experimented more under Josh this year than ever before. The hurry-up offense runs more plays, and they will be ready for another Super Bowl run, and they will win this time. Baltimore will beat Denver, and we will beat Baltimore by at least two touchdowns. Peter King said we had 200 more plays this year than 2 years ago and are going to be really difficult to stop. If our defense keeps teams under 24 points, we win. Final, Patriots 34, Texans 17. We'd win that game even if they didn't go under 24 points. But okay.
Is the goal to run plays? Just out of curiosity.
No, but if you're running plays, you're getting first downs.
No, but my point is, how many points did they score last year? As opposed to this year or 2 years ago. I mean, they've scored over 500 points 3 years in a row. So they scored. They ran 200 more plays, but they scored the same amount of points.
But time of possession comes into
but
it.
But they scored too. The same amount
I
of points.
I thought that was irrelevant, too.
Everything is irrelevant except for points, right?
It's true.
According to Bill?
It's true.
According to the scoreboard, too.
But if you're holding on to the ball longer, and let's say you don't think your defense is that much better, then it does make a difference.
So the Patriots' time of possession was not good this year, so they weren't good.
It wasn't?
No.
I don't know.
It was average.
It was average? It wasn't better than last year?
I don't know what the exact numbers
are. I'm not talking about average for the league. I mean, compared to last year, this team.
I don't think they had a very good time of possession.
I thought they had a little bit better this year.
I want to say in their winning streak in the middle of the year, the first time they won the time of possession was San Francisco when they lost.
Right. When the other team scored on one play drives all night.
I believe that for all those other games, they were losing time of possession.
But that's part of my problem. Like and I remember everybody made a big deal at it. The Patriots ran like 30 more plays than San Francisco that night. Well, San Francisco had 3 one-play touchdown drives. If I'm San Francisco, I'll say, you go ahead and you run 30,
Again,
40, 50 more plays.
You have to look behind the numbers.
Exactly. And that's why I say, I don't care that we ran 200 more plays than we did 2 years ago. Did we score any more points?
But it might be significant. We need to know that. We don't know if that's
if you score more points, it's significant. If you don't, it's not.
But, again, if you don't have a lot of confidence in your defense and you're keeping the other team off the field in the process of scoring points – Then it's
I couldn't agree with you more. If it's in the process of scoring points, it's a factor.
We need to know that.
So Bill had
a lot
of confidence in his defense from day one.
But we need to know what I just said. They scored 500 or more points the last 3 years.
That's what you guys are supposed to bring to the table. You're supposed to know this stuff.
But I'm telling you. The question is, I'm answering the question. They scored 500 or more points the last three years.
What's the time of possession this year compared to last year?
Again, we have to change. We change the bar.
Well, what does
you just said? It was about scoring points.
Well, what did those extra plays mean?
It didn't mean more points.
I don't know.
But I'm telling you, I do. They scored 500. They set an NFL record for scoring 500 or more points 3 years in a row. So they ran 200 more plays than they did,
I know,
but they didn't score more points.
I know they were close to breaking the record
in 2007, right? No.
No?
No.
Oh. I thought they were in the running for that.
Until they didn't score any points the last month.
Oh. Let's see. A1 writes it. Oh, no, it's Al.
They were held under their average 3 of the last 5 games, right?
Right. I don't know. I'm a longtime Patriots fan that now lives in Austin, Texas. Local sports radio here is saying that the Texans need to hand the ball off often to Arian Foster. I think you are right in saying that it is not in their mentality to come out throwing. I personally think the Texans do need to throw on the Patriots D. It's the weakest part of the Patriots. It should be a good game.
Did you guys talk at all earlier about the Shaughnessy thing?
A little bit, yeah.
Do you think it's as ridiculous as I do?
The column?
What part of it?
Well, the column, yes.
Oh,
The column is ridiculous, but also the Arian Foster using it as motivation.
I don't mind that. Not at all.
Patriots built a dynasty on it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying
don't
that's
you think
not
Rodney
ridiculous
Harrison
either.
No, I think it's
that?
All ridiculous. I already said
Twitter,
that. I don't think the talk matters.
If they had Twitter back in 2004, Rodney Harrison would be a real big participant.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt, but I think it's ridiculous that you have to use some columnist's opinion to motivate you.
I think the funniest thing is the fact that members, quasi-members of the media in Boston felt it necessary to contact Houston and let them know that that's not how we all feel. That, to me, was the most ridiculous part of it all.
Who did that?
Fred was saying yesterday there was
a couple people.
Yeah.
Who? Check. I don't want to get.
Oh, you're a pansy. Paul would say it if he knew.
Paul knows.
Fred was telling me yesterday.
Who?
Who?
So
what? Say it.
Let's,
wow.
Was it like Barstool Sports?
And you are questioning RG3.
So.
Oh. Then who was it?
I know who you're talking about.
I forget. Oh. Oh, he's on the payroll.
For the record, Fred, 30-41 this year, time of possession.
Okay.
You got that?
So middle of the road.
You wrapped your head around that?
This year.
Okay, last year, time of possession, 28-47.
So it's a little bit better.
Right.
All right.
Is that relevant in any way?
No. Points?
Well, didn't they set the record for first downs this year?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's keeping the other team off the field.
Points this year, 557.
Yep.
Last year, 513.
So a little bit more. 557 to 513. You know, 40 more points.
Okay, so like, I don't know
so
what you're
basically
asking.
There was,
I really don't
so,
know what
and, and they got
so
20 more
basic
points by in sucking in December, like you said.
So I didn't say they sucked in December.
Said
I said they
were
held
below
their. I said they were held below their average.
And they still
that's not sucking.
And they still,
28 points
and
is
they,
not sucking.
And they still had 40 more than last year, even though they were below
their
average.
See, I think 40 points is very negligible.
But
I don't think 40 points is a difference.
If they had kept
for
their
200
average, they
plays.
Blown it away.
And how many points did they score in 2010? Because it was 3 years in a row, right?
Oh, 10. I was going to go 7.
Well, 07 is the
okay
year. That's the year.
518.
So
they went 518, 513, 540. What did I say? 557.
So in 200 plays, they scored 35 more points. To me, there's no difference there.
2007, just for points. 589 was the points, and time of possession was 32-33. So the highest time of possession that I had seen in these high-scoring seasons, whatever we were looking at.
Sure.
I have no idea what any of this means.
No, all I was saying is if they score points, and Fred said it in one of his different arguments, if it's leading to points, I couldn't agree more. However they decide to do it, I think is fine as long as it's resulting in points. In other words, I don't just want to keep my defense off the field if I'm not scoring.
Right.
I don't want to run more plays if it's not leading to more points. I don't want to have a better time of possession if it's not leading to more points. I only want to do it if I can keep scoring.
Sure.
Now, obviously, the Patriots keep scoring. They're over 500 points 3 years in a row and 4 of the last
plus,
whatever,
I think it's hard
six
to say, I'm going to run a lot of plays, which means I'm getting first
and
down.
And not score.
And then,
right.
But I'm going to stink when I get to the red zone. Right. I am never going to score. Like, if you're able to do it when you want to do it, you're
going to have been years where that was the case.
Well, it becomes issues, but it's not usually that dramatic.
And it's one of those things that the only thing to worry about, Patriots offensively, is to me, is never anything to worry about, except for in a one-game situation. Because anything can happen in a one-game spot. And all of a sudden, like the Super Bowls in 07 and last year, instead of scoring 30, you get held to 20, and now you're in trouble. You know, because that's all it takes is, you know, the Patriots never turn the ball over, and to use an Andyism, until they turn the ball over. And all of a sudden, you do it twice in a playoff game and you go home. That's the only thing that I would be worried about, is that one day happening in January or February.
That's right.
Over the span of 16 games, I have no qualms about offense.
But
how they do
it.
But on one day, I don't know what's going to happen.
Nathan writes in, I'm so sick of fans talking about the Broncos and Patriots already. We have a week to diagnose Houston, then we'll go from there. I see so many similarities between this game coming up and the Jets game in 2010.
Don't say that.
Don't say it. Fred will yell at you.
Yes, the Texans don't have the pressure on them because they're supposed to lose. Teams throw for record yards against this team, and they didn't really throw to set up the run last time. They just kept trying to run with an occasional pass. The Patriots have two playoff games in recent memory that were overly impressive, the Jags in 08 and the Broncos in 2012. The Patriots typically don't play to their potential in playoff games. I'm not picking the Patriots to lose, but I think they certainly could. Nobody is giving the Texans respect, and surely this Texans team has more talent than the 2010 Jets team that came in and beat us after a bye week. Could we be taking them lightly? I hope not.
I don't think the players are.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
I don't think the players are either. I agree with Eric.
But that doesn't mean you can't be upset. That doesn't mean you can't. They can't make some plays and things happen.
And I also agree with that mentality. I mean, I think the Houston Texans, Houston can come here and have a heart transplant, and I think they can go out and play you nose to nose. I think they're a good football team. I just don't think that they have the mental capacity to beat the Patriots, especially not in Foxborough. But if they do, if they suddenly come in here and they say, you know what, we're better than this, and we're going to put it together, and we're going to play as well as we can play, I think it's game on. I think they could beat you, even if you play well.
Yep. Josh in Arlington, Virginia, this is nonsense. How about the Patriots blowing out the Broncos last year in December, then blowing them out again in the playoffs? Stop the nonsense. Texans are not the 2010 Jets. They had a brilliant game plan and better players in the secondary to execute it.
They're certainly not the 2011 Broncos.
Now, is that irrelevant?
I think it's all
I
nonsense.
Think that's the same thing. I think that's the same situation. You blew out a team in December, although there wasn't anything on the line when you blew them out in December.
But they were a bad team.
I agree. But still.
But just look at the comparison. Which team would you more likely compare the Texans to? The Jets of 10 or the Broncos from last year?
Jets.
Right.
For sure.
And I think in a lot of ways, a defensive-minded team, a team that's quarterback is kind of soft and
holds it back,
you know,
a little bit,
will only go as far as he can kind of take them. And Sanchez came in, what did he throw, 3 touchdown passes that
day?
He
was great that day.
So
give him credit.
You know, I think there are some comparisons even beyond the whole blowout to blowout, you know, rematch thing, just the types of teams and how things unfolded. And I think you can make a leap there towards what the Patriots can do if things go right. The Patriots have the ability to blow out virtually anyone if they get certain plays to go their way or if things go a certain way. But like any team in the NFL, if those things don't happen, they can find themselves in a dogfight and they can lose.
Right. Mike in the Sunny, he says, I thought the greatest human to ever walk the earth valued versatility above all else. If so, why the heck do we have one person capable of returning punts on this team, and why is he returning the punts in the fourth quarter of a game that's over?
Because you know what he values more than versatility? The ball.
Dependability.
He wants the ball.
Yeah. I just think he's scared to death of anyone else handling the ball.
And you know what?
As he should be.
I agree with him. This is not the
time. Who have we seen that we would say, okay, I put him back there?
This is not the time of year. If Julian Edelman got hurt the third game of September, third game of the year, and he was out for the year, maybe I would have said, you know, at some point I got to see if I can figure out if Patrick Chung or Deion Brand or somebody other than Wes Welker is my guy. You can't do it now.
That's what Fred argued on All Access.
It's too late now.
I said it's just going to be Welker.
Johnny from L.A.
You're a bad person. You are a bad Fred. I got to take you. I got to back you up. He's just a bad person.
He really is.
He really
he
is.
He knows the situation.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What's that? And he just that one guy always takes something he doesn't.
He's on the 100% payroll.
He's on the payroll.
Believe it. Johnny.
Oh,
LA.
I know who we're talking about. I just figured that out. I know who we're talking about now.
Not sure if this is a topic you'll have time to get into today, because I'm sure there's plenty of game related stuff to cover. But I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on the future of the NFL quarterback. Do you think that we will see more and more of RG3 and Russell Wilson types as opposed to the pocket passer types like Tom Brady and Manning? Or is there a happy medium, someone like Rodgers or even Andrew Luck, neither of whom specialize in running but can when needed? I'm especially interested in Andy's opinion here because I feel as though he's the only one who understands the game of football.
Who's this email from? That's a tremendous email. I think there's a happy medium, and that's I think you're going to see the great pocket passers will always exist because I think that is the best thing to have. But if you don't have a great pocket passer, if you just have some jag, then I think you're going to see more of an influx of those jobs go to athletic guys who can make plays because they have more things they can do to help you win a football game. You can be more diverse as an offense. So I do think there's a happy medium. You're not going to see all athletic quarterbacks and, you know, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady are obsolete. They will never be obsolete. Right. They will always not only not be obsolete, they'll always be what everybody really, really wants. But if you can't get one of those, then yes, I want an athletic guy. Because we're seeing with these athletic guys, you know, RG3, he's great. And part of what makes him great is he can throw too. But when he runs, he puts himself in danger, and then he misses a year and a half with a bruised.
And these scouts recognize talent from the high school level, and more high schools are throwing the ball now. And, you know, and it's not a complete shift to the passing game, so a lot of these quarterbacks can run and pass. And, you know, a college scout sees that and says, hey, we can use that. And so that they do that. They change their offense to, you know, to fit that guy in college. And, you know, so –
I think Brady and Manning will always be the ideal.
Oh,
if you can get one of those,
you get that tall,
you'll always want one of those.
Tall
but
guy
you
with
won't
rifle
reach
arm.
For those as much as they've done in recent years. If that's not available, then you say, I'm just going to take the winner named Russell Wilson. He's not 6 feet four, and he's not a pocket passer. But you know what? He's better than these jag pocket passers from who knows where.
I'll tell you, two
of
the ballsiest moves this year both happened in that NFC West with Colin Kaepernick mid-season, you know, making the change, putting him in there, and then Pete Carroll deciding in training camp that Russell Wilson was his guy, even though they spent money to get in.
I think that's less ballsy. Well, I think the Kaepernick one
was extremely
ballsy. But Pete Carroll, they didn't spend that much money. It's not like they gave him $60 million with a $30 million signing bonus. And B, he saw. You know, he had time to see.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas in San Francisco, you had an established winner. Regardless of whether you won the Super Bowl or could win the Super Bowl with him, you had an established winner who was getting the job done, and you chose to just sweep that to the side for a total unknown.
NFC West, I'm telling
you. And if you listen to Pete.
NFC title game, they should call it.
That
should be the name of the division. Get rid of the West. Just call us NFC title town.
And if you listen to Pete.
He doesn't even know we're mocking
him. I know you're mocking him. We'll see what happens next week when they're both out, but that's okay. Pete says that Flynn was hurt all of training camp, and really that's, you know, he had no choice because Wilson was the only guy really playing.
Right.
Now, I don't know if I buy that or if that was supposed to be like his little way of sort of
caressing.
Right. Yeah.
Massage of the ego.
And let everybody know that, I wasn't necessarily throwing away Paul Allen's money.
Plus, I want to trade this guy and I want his value
to
stay.
Plus, I don't want to just let my owner think that we went out and spent money on a free agent and I never even gave him a shot. He wasn't healthy and I went with his third round pick.
But
no, I do agree with you, Fred. I do think there was some risk involved there, but not anywhere near as much as Harbaugh.
Yeah. Oh, the Harbaugh was the big one. That was definitely. Warren writes in, and he says, whenever the Patriots defer at kickoff and our D gets on the field first, I always feel more comfortable. For some reason, I hate it when the offense begins the games. Do any of you agree? Also, one and done for Falcons and Matty Icemelt?
Matty Icemelt.
I like deferring because of the strategy of it.
I like
the Patriots
having the ball
do more
to
often
begin the
than
second
not.
Half, and I like my defense out in the field.
Yeah, I don't like that part of it. I like having the ball at the start of the second half. I think that's more important. And even if they fall behind because your defense is on the field first, I would rather have that chance to get the two possessions back-to-back.
I'm like wishy-washy. Let me know what happens on the first drive, and I'll let you. Because I feel good about Brady, really good about Brady taking the field first, because I'm assuming they're going to drive 80 yards and score a touchdown.
Yeah.
But if they go three and out and punt, now I feel really bad. And the opposite is, if the defense is out there, I don't feel really good because I think they could go 80 yards for a touchdown. But if they get a stop, now I feel really good.
No, but they often do go 80 yards for a touchdown. And a
lot of the team?
The other team.
Yeah, I agree. They've fallen behind a few times doing that.
And a lot of the times the Patriots, you know, okay, this is what they're trying to do when they –
wait for Andrew Luck to hit them in the chest with a throw.
I mean, it even happened recently in the Jacksonville game, in a game that they didn't play great offensively. They scored at the end of the half to tie it, and then they got, I want to say, a field goal at the start of the second half to take the lead. That was the first time they had the lead the whole game, and it was largely due to the consecutive possessions that you got. I like that. It doesn't always work out that way, but I like that mentality of deferring.
Joyce writes in, someone pointed out that the Texans changed their coverage scheme in the second half during the last meeting with the Patriots, causing the Patriots to have difficulty completing passes. How significant will this be this week? Can you discuss the details of the defensive schemes?
Fred?
I have no idea.
Well, they did. They went three straight touchdowns.
Four straight punts. Three and outs.
And then they started scoring again.
Right. So. And even then, it was a third and 10 that they threw the bomb to Stallworth on that was pretty well defended.
Yeah.
Took a perfect play by
Stallworth. Just some throws you can't cover, Paul. And I learned that from Patriots.
Well, it was a one-handed catch. It was a great catch by Stallworth, too. It was a great throw by Brady, but a great one-handed catch.
But, you know, it's funny because, okay, look at that game against the Texans and the game against the 49ers and reverse the roles. The 49ers basically did to the Patriots what the Patriots did to the Texans early. And then at some point, the Patriots started to slow down the 49ers, and they started scoring. But when the Texans started to slow us down, Schaub couldn't get them back in the game. That's the difference.
And Justin Smith got hurt.
And that's what I think. And that's what I think about Schaub. I agree with you, Fred. I think there was opportunities that night for that game not to be a blowout, and Schaub just couldn't do it. And it started with that. They had a chance to take the lead on that drive, right? They threw the pick in the end zone, or maybe just tie it 7-7. Maybe they just got stopped in the first drive when that guy Gene dropped the bomb down the sideline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the Patriots scored, and they had a chance to match that score. And, you know, by all accounts, Arian Foster's wide open, and he throws the ball into double coverage in the end zone. That's just a dumb play.
So this is a one-man game. It's all on Schaub's
shoulders. I don't think they can win without Schaub playing well.
I agree.
You know, you brought up in our TV trash talk yesterday, a little foreshadowing, Joe Flacco winning the game in 2009 here, and he did nothing. They can't win doing that.
Right.
They can't. They're not just going to sit there and throw and run the ball down the Patriots' throats like that, and then come up with stops and turnovers like. I mean,
when was Brady's last four pick game? He's due. He used to have those all the time.
He used to have them all the time, huh?
You know, a couple times a year.
Who is this guy? See, Fred, he didn't spend any time on those cold benches like we did.
Have they worn the jackets since that game?
Oh, I don't think so, and I don't think they will again.
I'm not sure those jackets exist anymore.
Yeah, they may have been incinerated.
Matt writes in, was hoping you could ask the Patriots fan in New York where a good place to watch the Super Bowl would be. I'll be there meeting some friends, but out of the country and need to find a place that won't charge me a fortune to watch. We're staying in Brooklyn, but I'd appreciate if Brooklyn Matt didn't offer any advice since he's a colossal douchebag. And anywhere he would go would definitely not be a place for us, but advice from anyone else would be greatly appreciated.
He'd invite you over, but he's holding that invitation for Eric.
There's a place in New York. They are mostly a Patriots, a Boston sports bar. It's called the Riviera that a lot of Patriots fans go to.
French?
In New York.
It's a French place.
Yeah.
I didn't expect the Riviera. I don't know what I expected, but when you said it's like a Boston
like
bar.
Sully's.
I was expecting Sully's.
The Riviera.
McGarrity's Pub.
That button hooked me.
The Clam Shack. That's what he says.
So you get, forgive me for not knowing, but when you go to like a big bar in the city to watch the Super Bowl, that's like a paid thing. You get charged for that.
Oh, maybe in New York you might. Yeah,
I'm asking.
You might have a cover. I don't know. Mostly in Boston, you wouldn't, right? Mostly.
I don't know. I'm asking. I never did that before. Usually, I just go to like a party
sometimes
with my friends.
Like if a fan club rents out the back room, they might have like a little entrance fee and
a fan
raffle
club thing.
And you know.
I just meant like as average Joe wants to go and watch the Super Bowl regardless of the teams involved.
Well, they might have a Super Bowl party. You know, I take that back. A lot of these
do bars do that?
Yeah, I think a lot of them do. Yeah.
Cuz I always, someone hosts a Super Bowl party and you go to their house, whatever.
Absolutely. And then you charge them.
Oh, no, I never charge. I let Will charge us. Because it's Will's birthday party.
Jeevan from Vancouver wants to know, what do we think of Buffalo's head coach hiring?
Yeah.
Guy from Syracuse.
Fred, what did you say?
Well, he's the cheapest airfare, so that's why they hired
him. It was zero. Just drove him over.
Greatest line ever by Fred.
Your guy. Because one of the things for Marone's candidacy, Tim...
Graham. Okay.
One of his things was he's got Bill Parcells' recommendation. He's got Jay...
I know. Everybody was falling all over themselves.
Except Tim Graham says... I think the Bill Parcells relationship with Marone has been quite overblown. I'll leave it at that or something.
Odd, huh? Okay.
So it sounds like he doesn't quite have the tie to Parcells that people were trying to make it out to be.
Yeah, I don't know much about this guy other than his pretty mediocre record in college. But I will say that unlike a lot of college guys that come, he does have the pro background. He was the offensive coordinator in New Orleans.
Me, I think it's perfect for them.
I mean,
it's
not,
a swing for the fences. You either are hiring another coach in a couple years, or you hit that young guy who's going to build a program that is really special.
Okay,
and,
I mean, I suppose you could kind of sell me on
that. Because
they
can't get anybody to go there.
And you can sell them
on
the
Syracuse thing. Well, you could if you did.
Because
I think Fred's being sarcastic, but I think he's right.
See, I don't think you could get anybody to go there. If they have options, I don't think these big-name guys are going to Buffalo.
No, and I think that I think
that's
it's a bad stadium, a bad city, a bad
but
you know,
I think they don't want to pay them.
And I think that's why he took the job, because he was already at Syracuse, so he knows about living in that area of the country.
Right.
And figured, well, if I'm going to be in this area of the country, I might as well have an NFL job, where even if, you know, expectations aren't
going to
be...
Lovie Smith, for example, was the guy that they were talking about.
And he might have been a good hire for
that. I'd rather have this guy than
Lovie
Smith.
Yeah, me too. To me, Lovie Smith is a retread reject who you're overpaying for because he was already a head coach, and you're not going to get anywhere with.
Oh, you know, you might you're starting to convince me, because they've got this new GM, or I don't know if it's a new GM, but he's got more power now, supposedly. And
well, the president, Brand, they turned the team over to him.
Yeah. And
Ralph Wilson actually signed. He's no longer like
And he's anything. Claiming he's going to start running this team in the direction of using more of a stat model, more of a numbers model, whatever that means. So maybe part of that is, look, you know, we could do just as well with a guy like this.
If or we, just and, as bad.
Yeah.
Rather than going to get, you know, I don't know who they could get, some retread, you know, coach.
Right, a guy with a name.
Like
so
the guy they just fired, Chan Gailey.
Right.
Or I can roll the dice.
Yeah.
And the same thing on the other end. Doug Marone can stay at Syracuse and hope he builds a winner there to really earn a job in a
which
few
is
years.
Tough, which is
or he
can
take
tough.
The job
It's almost
now.
Like it's a stepping stone job for Doug Marone. You know,
well,
they use that in college ranks. Depending, you know, you want to get to the BCS level or a higher BCS level. It's almost like he's
like
using
Patino did with BU.
But not for a pro job. For him, I think, I go to the Bills. If I fail at the Bills, will I get a better college job as a failed head coach in the NFL?
Yes.
I don't know.
Exactly. That's what I think.
If he fails?
For Buffalo.
I don't know.
Everybody fails in Buffalo, so... I just think as a former NFL head coach, his resume looks a little better.
Absolutely.
And for the Bills, if he's great, he's great.
Woohoo! And even if he's not great,
lottery.
If he takes that team to the playoffs, that's something they haven't had in years.
Oh, God. Well, that would be.
It can
only
go
up.
But
that would be succeeding if he took the team to the.
So I think it's a win-win within the confines of being the Buffalo Bills.
I certainly would rather have him than Lovie Smith.
That said, I think he's going to fail miserably.
I think Lovie Smith is the definition of mediocre. I don't think he's a stiff, and I don't even necessarily think he should have lost his job. With Chicago, but I think
because in your world he made the postseason.
He's sort of an individual. Sort of a mediocre level.
Yeah. Fish and Woolburn says, are there any significant personnel differences for the Patriots or Texans since last time for each team, respectively, between the matchup a few weeks ago, this coming week, with regards to injuries or acquisitions?
Not a lot of differences. As far as additions, but injury wise,
guys coming back.
Gronkowski is huge.
Well, yeah, and for Houston,
Brooks Reed,
Jonathan Joseph. I think there's significant differences. I don't know how they're going to impact the game.
And
but
if you believe everything out of Houston, Kareem Jackson like gets better by the minute.
Oh yeah, no, he's evidently the second coming of Revis. All of a sudden, I think he's a stiff. But you know, what do I know?
Tickle.
Rachel writes in, someone mentioned on Patriots Monday that the Patriots are 3-6, and she's got losses as 3 and wins as 6 against opponents they beat in the regular season and then lost to in the postseason. They made it kind of sound like the Patriots only won 3 times instead of 6 by the way they said it. Anyway, assuming the Patriots win Sunday and Ravens actually do pull off an upset, what is the Patriots' record when playing an opponent in the postseason the second time around when they lost to them in the regular season, beginning with postseason wins over the Rams and Steelers in 2001? I don't know the answer to that.
Oh, boy.
So what's the reverse?
When they lost to a team in the regular season,
and then they played them in the playoffs.
They've lost a handful of. I think they lost like five.
You mentioned the Rams, and you mentioned the Steelers. Right.
I think they lost five in a row in that situation. No, you did, not me.
And Paul mentioned the Steelers in 04.
Right.
But we can go with it. Pittsburgh and St. Louis, that's 2-0 for 01.
Okay.
Yeah, don't need 02. 03, Tennessee and Indianapolis.
They beat Tennessee and Indianapolis that year. So they didn't lose to either one of them.
So nothing counts there. They didn't play Carolina.
Are we going to go through every year now?
One minute he wants us to answer the questions with the actual knowledge,
and the next minute he doesn't want the answer.
So we don't have time to discuss.
So if I don't know it off the top of my head, we can't do it. Now, in 05.
17-4.
In 05, 06, I'm sorry, they lost to the Colts, and then in the regular season they lost to them in the playoffs.
We're really going to go through everyone, Paul.
That's the only one I can think of off the top of my head.
There was a stat that Jeff Howe.
07, they beat Paul's the Giants, and they lost to the Giants.
Yesterday, about Brady, or I think it was Brady, or. I think it was something like it was a rematch,
but it wasn't losses. I don't know, the losses that Brady
and Belichick have had in the playoffs. There were six of them, I think, and they were all to teams or five of them.
The only two teams that they had beaten in the regular season under Belichick and Brady, right, are rematches of
teams that
regular
they played,
season wins
and okay. yeah, yeah and beaten.
So you are 0-2. Oh no, not 0-2. You've lost two. You're only two.
Right. Brooklyn Matt defending
so
himself.
So the Texans have a chance. If they hadn't lost in the regular season, based on history, which Fred says is irrelevant, they would have not had a chance to win this game, but they now have a chance because they got blown out.
Brooklyn Matt says, I'm a colossal douchebag. Yep. I guess you mean someone who ran a rock record label in New York City, had a French model girlfriend to go with it. I'm a douchebag. Then yes, I'm a colossal douchebag.
He's still going with this, like, fictional life?
It's just awkward.
Is she from Niagara Falls? What's up, John Rook?
By the way, I got the tweet, by the way, the exact tweet from Howe. In a very strange stat, all six of the Pats' playoff losses under Belichick have come in a rematch against a team they met in the regular season.
But this person wanted to know about a team that they lost to in the regular season and played again in the playoffs.
Not necessarily just a rematch.
Right.
Yeah. So now, John Rook, what's going on?
I'm engaged in listening to your conversation.
Oh yeah,
I'm not quite sure what to make of it either.
Me either, and I'm part of it.
So, what were our thoughts on last night's game? Should there have been somebody else other than Notre Dame?
I thought the Celtics played very well.
Yeah. I can't wait for the playoff system. That's what I think.
Pretty brutal.
No matter who it was, the way Alabama played, I think they would have won.
Would the playoff system have
been?
Oh,
I think if they had played another SEC team, it wouldn't have unfolded.
Florida would have been in the playoffs.
Who'd Florida lose to though?
In the bowl game, Louisville.
Florida got blown out by Louisville.
Yeah, Louisville killed them.
Louisville wouldn't have been the four.
No.
Oh, no.
Who was the four?
You would have had, Oregon, I think.
Oregon.
Oh, yes.
Oregon would have been one.
What about Kansas State? K-State
would have been in there.
Or South Carolina?
Well, four teams you're talking about?
Right.
I think it would have been the two you had, Florida and Oregon.
But it probably would have been Notre Dame, Oregon, so they would have got knocked out, and then it would have been Oregon, Alabama.
Conceivable.
For the national title.
Which would have been more entertaining, I think.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Virtually anybody but Notre Dame would have been more entertaining. But.
Yeah, it was a big disappointment, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So. All right,
Kept
John.
Flicking back and forth to the, you know, between that and the Celtics game last
Celtics
night.
Celtics game was terrific.
Celtics was actually pretty good. So.
John, is this a layup this weekend?
I know that a lot has been said about, you know, Shaughnessy's column and whether or not, you know, this game should be. I don't know. Considered a layup, Fred, but I don't see it as a layup. I don't think anything in the playoffs is a layup. And when you have, you know, in recent history, a team like the Jets who you whacked 45-3 and then they came back and beat you in the playoffs.
Ixnay on the etch Jets.
Fred gets very angry.
Fred's
when people
very
bring
angry
that
with
up.
That analogy.
Well, I don't understand why.
All I can say is I don't think you're in any position to be taking anybody lightly.
Okay, I think that's correct. And I think regardless of what happened in 2010, you shouldn't be taking anyone lightly. All right, John's coming up with the playbook, and then what's after that, Kevin?
Football Nation.
Football Nation after that.
With Todd and Bill.
Okay, so full slate of Patriots.com radio. We'll see you tomorrow.
it seems like I'm caught up in your trap again. And it seems like I'll be wearing the same old chain.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.